Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I know we've been a little bit absent for a minute, but we're back stronger than ever. I hope you enjoy yourselves. I hope everything is going good with you. Stay tuned to after this song. I am the treasure. Love you all.
From the day I was born,
the host of Dirty Church Radio. I hope everyone tonight, man, you had a blessed Sunday. I hope you had a blessed weekend. I hope everything is well with you. I hope, you know, you had good family time. I hope that the family is prospering and just different things. I hope the families is just getting closer, even in the midst of everything that's going on around us. In life, we just pray that, you know, everyone stay strong, keep the faith, and don't let the trials let go of your faith or your belief. Tonight is going to be a blessed night on the radio. We have a few people going to be calling in. You know, we have our normal co-host, Aaron the Devil's Advocate Spradley, and our Apostle Lewis Young. But tonight we're also going to have he's like a big brother to me. Our brother, I call him the scholar, the Bible scholar, but he's an anointed, blessed man of God, a brother Wendell Harris. He's going to be on the show with us tonight, and it's going to be, I believe it's going to be a good show. Tonight's topic is actually part two of a topic that we had about a week or so ago, dealing with the wages of sin. So tonight is the wages of sin, part two, and we're just going to tap in because everyone looks at sin differently. Different religions look at sin differently. We all, a lot of us, we put different measurements on sin. We look at certain things worse than other things and other things less than other things. So tonight we want to actually, you know, dig deep into it, into the minds of the people and their take on sin and what we feel sin is. Like we say here on Dirty Church Radio, this is a show where no topic or issue is out of bounds. It doesn't matter what the topic is or issue, we are willing to deal with it and we are willing to confront it. And I always say at the beginning of the show, sometimes on this show, we talk about topics and issues that may be very sensitive to some listeners. And just like we're so thankful that you tune into us, but if you have to tune out, we do understand because some things, you know, you may take personal, you know, and we don't mean to offend no one, but this is a show where we are willing to go where truth leads us. We're not afraid to follow truth, and we want to stand on what truth is. And sometimes, a lot of times, truth hurts, and that's just the truth. Truth does hurt sometimes, especially when we've been holding on to traditions and customs and things that we've been raised in. It's been, you know, embedded in us. And when we find out that those things may not be right, or, you know what I'm saying, it hurts. But we're willing to deal with it and confront it and keep it moving. It's part of growth. So whatever your seeds and thoughts of the people out there in this world, whatever your seeds, your ideas, your thoughts, they are welcome on Dirty Church Radio, because on the dirt on this show, we guarantee that the seed will grow, and it will grow into something great. Even in the midst of our disagreements that we might have, we believe that there is still a greater assignment and purpose for mankind, God's creation. So tonight, as always, we have our brother D.A., the devil's advocate, Aaron Spradley on the show. What's going on, brother?
What's good? How are you?
Chilling, man. Chilling, man. And before we even go further, I have another one of my brothers. I want to introduce everyone to him. I call him the scholar, my brother Wendell Harris. We want to welcome him to the show tonight, the Dirty Church Radio. What's going on, bro?
God bless you. God bless you, bro. All right.
Good
blessing to be amongst you guys, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Oh, D.A., man, this the brother I was telling you about, man. This is like my big brother right here, too, man.
I know. I heard good things about you, man.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, tonight is a topic, you know, like I just told the viewers and listeners out there, we already touched on this topic, but tonight is the part two.
Hold on, Jay. I just want to let you know. I also have a guest in on the conversation too. A young gentleman by the name of Stephen Fullard.
Stephen Fullard, he's on the line right now.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what's going on, man? How you doing, Stephen Fullard?
Man.
The trumpetist. this boy bad on the trumpet, man. Brother Stephen. All right, Steve, you finally, you know, got with us to come on Dirty Church Radio. You know what I'm saying? We don't want nobody, you know, to be scared to come on Dirty Church Radio. You know what I mean? Because like I said, man, we talk about it regardless of what it is, man. You know what I mean? But tonight I believe it's going to be a good topic. And I believe that those that are out there, you know, in church or outside of church, you have heard of sin. That word sin coming up in church, you've heard it. Throughout time, you've heard it. And tonight we want to deal with what the Bible talks about, the wages of sin. That's where this topic comes from, the wages of sin. What is the result of sin? What is the consequence of sin? Some may believe that there is no such thing as sin. Sin doesn't exist. It's just a man's made idea to control men, religion controlling man's mind. I mean, there's so many different ways people may look at it. You know what I mean? Some people believe that, you know, sin is not, you're not sinning. You can't sin against God. You mainly just sin to yourself. And whatever you do, whatever bad seeds you sow, you'll just reap it, because whatever you do, you're doing it to yourself. It's not like you're offending God. But then the Christians are those that believe in the Bible, you know, scriptures. Dylan, we believe that sin is an offense against God. You know, it's going against the will of God. It's going against his principles and against his standards and you know, so on and forth on like that. But tonight, let's just jump right on in on this scripture, man. We got my brother Wendell Harris on the line. If you want to, you know, if you got something to say dealing with the wages of sin, you can start this thing off tonight, man.
God bless you, brothers. You know, the word of God says as well as the wages of sin is death. You know, when you deal with sin, actually some people may say, you know, cursing, lying, stealing, drinking, or, you know, doing some outward immoral act would be a sin. But actually, sin means to miss the mark. It means to miss the mark. If you're a sharpshooter, you want to hit the bullseye. You want to hit dead on. So God looks at it like if you sin it, you're missing the mark. Because the Bible says whatsoever is done without faith is sin. So you got some people who are religious. And they feel like, you know, because I don't smoke and I don't drink, I don't sin. But sin is so broad, you can miss the mark. If God telling you to, you know, study your word, but you choose not to study your word, you know, it could be missing the mark. So you want to be dead on with what God is instructing you to do by his spirit, you know. And the wages of sin is death. And death goes deep. When you deal with death, you deal with separation, physical death. The spirit separates from the body. Spiritual death is, you know, God is spirit. God is not with that individual. And, you know, so you're getting into spiritual death when you choose to participate in missing God's mark and being disobedient to God in any form. You know, it's death, separation from God. You know, it's broad, but I don't want to take the whole conversation, man. You know, but sin is missing the mark, and when you miss the mark, you disobey God, you're putting yourself in a position of death. But then that goes even deep, because that's where the death of Jesus was sacrificed for us, that sin don't have no power over us as a new creature in Christ. Because we're not under the law, but we're under grace. So now that we are saved through the death of Jesus Christ, sin has no power over you, because the great ultimate sacrifice, or the pay of it, which is death, has been paid. So Christ paid it for us, that we have a free gift if we choose to believe in the work that God has done. It goes back to, do you believe? But the gift of God is eternal life. But we're dealing with the wages of sin. And, you know, with a Christian, we get the conviction in our heart. The Bible says when we are, when we have confidence towards God, then we know that what we ask, we're free to receive of him. But if our heart condemns us, you know, God is greater than our heart. God is not condemning us. Our heart is condemning us. And so sin makes your heart condemn you. So sin makes you feel condemned. And when you are condemned, that takes away your confidence. And you got to have confidence in God to receive the blessing that God chooses to give you in prayer, when you ask in prayer. Because the Bible says that, you know, we know that we have whatsoever we ask of him. When we have confidence, he said that in 1 John, I could quote the scripture. So sin is deep, man. The wages of sin is deep. But I thank God for Jesus Christ, who suffered for me, that I can have a right to this new life and not feel guilty about whatever it is that someone may point the finger and put on me, or say, you know, I sinned, or, you know, I'm practicing sin, or, you know, because you got a movement out there who believe that, you know, who try to teach perfection, man, you know, and it's deep. But, you know, in Christ, man, you know, the wages gets deep, man, when you're talking about following God, you know. But it's open for you know, the different brothers to comment, or however, whatever God put in your heart.
Well, Brother Steve, you knew on the show. this your first time on Dirty Church Radio. You got something you want to say?
All right. First off, I'm having a little bit of trouble understanding. All right, so you said that basically you're interpreting sin as missing the mark, right?
Right.
All right, so technically I'm thinking every morning you wake up, you're missing the mark automatically. Like,
okay.
Just by the way that we think, if you have a habit, like, say, you wake up in the morning and you smoke a cigarette, that's missing
right.
the mark.
Right.
Or you wake up in the morning and you think about smoking a cigarette, you're missing the mark. Or if
right.
if you think about another woman when you wake up, or there's so many different things that you, so I'm not really understanding that.
But see, check this out. I can say you're 100% right, and a lot of other brothers can probably agree with you because they're human. So to be human, of course you're going to have some type of negative thoughts. But we're talking about changing your thoughts, and how you change your thoughts is by renewing your mind with the Word of God. So you got to meditate in the Word of God. But God even said the same thing you said. When he said, for all have sinned. In Romans, he said, for all have sinned. But as a matter of fact, God said, blessed is the man in whom he does not impute sin or bring sin to his charge. So you become blessed when God don't bring that to your charge. First, you got to know who you are in God in order to overcome sin. That sin don't have no power over you. But if you don't know who you are, that you are born-again child of God, and that you have a renewed spirit, you won't walk in the power that God gave you over sin, that you don't have to smoke cigarettes. You don't have to drink. This thing is bigger than smoking cigarettes and drinking. You know, like you said, your thoughts, you got to, in order to change your actions, you got to change your thoughts. Everything you see started with a thought. So we're talking about changing our thought pattern, and the way you change your thought pattern after you get a new spirit. You need an operation in the heart. And God promised that he would give us a new spirit and a new heart. He'll take that hard, stony heart and put a heart of flesh, a sensitive heart to his spirit and to his word. So, you know, meditating in the word of God is what renews our mind, what changes our thoughts. And once we start changing our thoughts, then we can start practicing God morals and God ways that we don't think like we used to. I mean, I know the old spots I used to hang out. I know the old people I used to connect with. I know the old things I used to do. That ain't left me. But I have a new thought pattern today, and that thought pattern is to think on things above. But I'm not so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. I know I got to live in this world. I got to deal with some things. So good, as long as you in this world, you're going to have to deal with some things. But again, sin don't have no power over you when you wake up and understand that you're human. You got power over sin because of the death of Jesus Christ. We're talking about salvation being freely given to you, not because of nothing that you do, but because you believe. Not because you go to church so many times or you pray so many times, but because you believe, your belief. Not only, now we know the devils believe and tremble, but the devils do not practice or bring correspondence faith to this thing. So what shows that you believe? If you believe, you're going to change. You're not going to stay the same. You're not going to think the same. You're not going to do the same. People that you used to hate, you're going to start loving. You're going to be able to forgive people that when at one time you couldn't forgive them because you experienced the love of God. So sin still can't have no power over you because you wake up in the morning and you realize you done let loose on yourself because you backed up because you ain't been having no sex. That's because your human body was made like that. You ain't got to play with yourself to let loose. You could just let loose, wake up one day and have you had a wet dream. Because your body was made to release itself. And once it gets backed up, it's going to come out. So you don't have to feel condemned because of that. Same thing if you get up and you go and you tell your wife you get ready to go to the store, mess around and meet some old chick, or you do something real stupid. That's what it is. But still, you ain't got to kill yourself. You know what I mean? You understand that you're human. God accepts you. Once you start looking at yourself for who you are, then you will start saying, oh, I can't keep cheating on my wife. I can't keep going out here smoking these cigarettes. I'm a child of God. Not condemning yourself. God ain't condemning you. God trying to tell you that you're a new creature. God trying to tell you that you can overcome sin. God trying to tell you that you are the righteousness in Jesus Christ. God trying to tell you when he look at you, he see Jesus and not your sin. But you always see your sin. So therefore, you condemning yourself. And then that messes with your confidence. So in order for you to not condemn yourself, you would turn away from some things that's hindering you. So when you're a child of God, you're going to change. You're not going to keep condemning your heart. But you're going to have your confidence in God. You know, so, you know, God said it even bigger than the way you're breaking it down. God said for all I don't care if you're the Pope, the Imam, the preacher, the bishop. I don't care who you is. For all have sinned. I don't care if you on some, you know, when you're born of God, you do not sin. That's 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. You know, and start saying that, you know, hey, Jesus said, go and practice sin no more. Go and sin no more. He told the woman who committed adultery, go and sin no more. So some people, you know, preach that when you're born again, you're not going to sin. Amen. You just said it. When you wake up, you might have a thought. So, but you still got power over it, no matter what. Through the death of Jesus Christ, I'm saved by faith. Your faith is what? The just shall live by faith. So your faith qualifies you now to be accepted by God through Jesus Christ. That's the blessing through Jesus Christ. Ain't no other way. Any other way, you got to get religious. This way, you free. I'm not bound to no religion. I'm not bound by no law. See, law brings about condemnation and guilt and all of that. The devil can use guilt on you and get you to feel messed up when law is there. But when you ain't under no law, he ain't got nothing to use. So, therefore, you know, hey, man, you free in Christ. Enjoy your freedom and bless God and thank him for what he done through Jesus Christ. You know, don't look at the sin. Look at the blessing, the gift. But the wages of it now, and now that you're saved and you got a new spirit and you're born again, it brings about condemnation. Your heart condemns you. When your heart condemns you, you don't have confidence. The Bible says when our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts. He knows all things. But if we have confidence, then we know that what we ask. Then we know that what we ask, we have. So your answer prayer is when you got confidence. And how you going to have confidence is when your heart don't condemn you. And how your heart going to stop condemning you? Your heart going to stop condemning you when you stop practicing some of those old behaviors and things that we bluntly know is a disrespect. A dismoral act in the eyesight of God. We talking about God morals because he got them, you know, and we trying to learn his way of thinking. We know the Bible says, for the wicked man have to forsake his thoughts and his ways, for God's thoughts is higher than our thoughts and his ways is higher than our ways. You know, but he was talking to the wicked man, not the righteous man. And you become the righteous man not because you don't do some of those you know, outward things that people do, because you got a lot of religious people and they think they're righteous. You're righteous because of what Christ did. Christ put his spirit inside of you. Christ saved you from the power of hell. He gave you his love. He gave you a new way of life, a new way of living. And so you're saved by Christ and you get Christ's righteousness. Like he said, it's not by my righteousness, not by no good works that I do, but by my faith. So, you know, yeah, you're going to wake up with those dreams. You're going to come. Reality going to smack you in your face. And, you know, even the ones who are in the church and they be preaching that, you know, you got to be preaching fire and brimstone. You got to live holy. You got to live righteous. When they by themselves, they don't tell you what they're going through. They don't tell you what their sin is. But but you've been around for a long time, so you know if you're human, God told you that you they sinned, for all have sinned. That's not excluding them. So we know we all is under this thing together. So God is saying all of y'all messed up. All of y'all righteousness is as a filthy rag. A filthy rag, I ain't even going to get into that, but you can read it. You can read the scriptures and get some of the Hebrew translations and see, man. It's real filthy. But yet, Christ now, check this out. Christ suffered a death as a wicked man. God allowed him to be punished like he was the greatest sinner that ever lived. They whipped him. They scourged him. They nailed him to a cross. They treated him like he broke the law so many times. He never broke the law. But why did God allow him to suffer like a wicked sinner? For us, the same free way he suffered, and he was righteous, but yet he suffered the same free way we do wrong, but yet we get eternal life. So we get eternal life. So your faith now brings you into access into everything that I'm saying. And I'm only saying what the scripture says. That's all I'm saying is what the scripture says. The scripture says that blessed is the man in whom God does not bring sin to his charge. David saw that day. The prophets long to be living in this day and time. You know, where God is just showing his grace, man, his grace. Unmerited favor, unearned favor. God favors you because of your faith. That's it. What kind of faith do you got? Do you believe? You know, we say we believe God, but then when we get challenged, we start talking like we doubt, like God don't exist. Man, God is so big, man. He's greater than what our problem is in our situation. Now, I'm first to tell you, man, sometimes I shake, man. Faith, sometimes I say I got faith, and then I start doubting God and start acting ugly, man. And start acting like I want to cry, or I want to make a fuss about something that, you know, I said I gave to God. Do I really believe? Thank God I believe to the saving of my soul. I believe Jesus died for my sins, but we're talking about getting other things now. Do you believe that he'll fix up your marriage? Do you believe he'll give you the house that you so deserve? Do you believe he'll give you a car? Do you believe he'll give you the job that you're looking for? And we say we believe, but then when the challenge comes, do you believe that he'll give you power over sin? The Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. You know, because why? Because you are not under the law. See, law makes sin. It enforces sin because the devil uses the law to get you to feel condemned. And once you keep feeling condemned and weighed down, hey, man, who's going to keep walking this way, man? I'm going to be all messed up. Well, where's the love? Where is God? His love is right there through the death of Jesus Christ and trying to teach me, look, you're bigger than whatever your problem is. You're saved. You know, so, yeah. When you wake up in the morning and your negative thoughts, hey, that's you. You're human. You're alive. That lets you know you're alive. You ain't dead. You ain't dreaming. You can get a, you want to make an egg sandwich, make one. You want to go get a girl, go get one. You do whatever. But it is some consequences now on this side. You know, you can catch the AIDS. But yeah, we're talking about eternal life. If you believe, you got eternal life. And sin and the devil can't take that away from you. I mean, that's just what I believe. Why? Because of his grace and his love. He's trying to tell you that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you telling yourself, I'm all beat up. I got to go and pray. I got to do this to get right with God. You're already right with God because you believe. Christ saved you, you know. But some people want to get religious, and they want to offer God a sacrifice and saying, you know, because I'm jumping up and down and I'm praising God real loud, and he's going to make this sin right. That don't make sin right. Sin was made right when Jesus suffered. That's the ultimate sacrifice. He died for that. So I got to realize that, you know, I'm pure. Why? Because God made me pure. And the more I keep saying I'm pure, the more I'm going to become pure because there's power in what we say. You know, the word is like a seed. You know, when you plant that seed, you're going to grow. It's going to grow. You you know. So you got to speak positive. You got to speak life. So God says that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So before the foundation of the world, we've been predestined. Predestined means a predetermined end. So God got my end already written before I was even born. You know, so he already know that he called me into him, and now that I'm into him, I can rejoice because I'm growing now. I'm growing because I'm renewing my mind with the word of God. Well, what I'm saying to you is what the word of God says, you know. So, you know, I enjoy being on this radio show, you know. But, Jay, you already know, you know.
We appreciate you being, coming on, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's open, man. It's Dirty Church Radio, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if Steve has something else to want to say or our brother D.A., you know what I mean, want some input or something like that, but it's open.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. I'm gonna let you brothers. I'm gonna have to get back with you. I have some things I have to do. I already told you, right?
Yeah, I got you.
You know what I mean? I have to do some things for my family and stuff. But I will be getting back with you. I'll probably come back on maybe a half an hour.
Okay, yeah, because this is DA talking. I definitely would like to, you know, come back at you with some of the things that you said, and I really, really enjoy listening to you, man.
All right, this is what you do, DA. What you do, if you have a little time so you don't lose the thought, you know, jot down, you know, what it is that you know you wanted to, you know, come at me with or whatever, and, you know, then we can finish our dialogue. Because, like,
okay.
You know, things that I be saying, you know, I like, you know, even if you like, you know, well, listen, can you show me that in the Word? You know, and God permitting, you know, he put that verse in my heart, I'm going to go right to it, you know. But I give y'all brothers my heart and love, man, and I'll give you a call back maybe a little bit after 9.
Okay.
All right, cool. Really, really, right. Really expecting to hear back from you, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
I'm definitely gonna call back.
Okay,
got you. All right.
God bless.
Thanks. Right. Peace. So what's going on, Steve? DA.
Doing? I can't say anything about that. He's arguing the basis of Christianity. Like, that's the soul of it, you know? I mean, the only thing that confuses me is more so, it's like...
But remember one thing. Whatever you do, jot it down, because he'll be back on. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you jot it down.
Me personally, I don't necessarily need to jot it down because, you know, I know exactly what I would like to ask, and not only that, but there are still some questions that was unanswered from the last discussion that we had about this topic that I definitely would love to hear an answer. You know, I know last time you and Apostle Young actually was supposed to come up with the answers, but you guys didn't. We ran out of time, so hopefully.
Yeah, What was the answers? You remember?
No, the questions. You guys didn't have the answers to the questions that I asked.
I mean, do you still have the questions?
Oh yeah. But I'm not sure if you're necessarily ready yet to answer the questions that you know that I had forth.
But I'm saying we still got an hour and a half more on the show. If you ask the question, maybe I can try to answer it, or maybe I might have more time to answer it because we was cut off on the last show.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
nobody's scared of DA's questions.
I don't think it has to do with fear. I think what it has to do with lack of apologetics to even answer the questions. I mean,
that could be your opinion.
No, it's not an opinion because you guys did have time last time to, you know, to answer because you were looking.
Well, ask your question because you're still talking.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the questions, you know, the whole concept of sin, how how the whole Christian
concept.
Oh, you know,
concept. We got your boy on here, too. I'm going to let him on real quick. I think.
Okay.
Hold on. Is this Mr. Ex-Catholic?
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Ex-Catholic?
Yeah, what's going on, Mr. Ex-Catholic?
Doing great, doing great. I'm in,
okay.
I'm here.
All right. These are some of the questions that I had, if I can actually remember them. I know one of them was, you know, the whole concept of sin and how sin came about into the world. Basically it came through Adam because Adam, you know, ate a fruit. And by Adam eating his fruit, the whole world after him was condemned through him disobeying God. Then God, in return, since God has the authority to forgive, instead of forgiving, God basically allowed, I believe, 2,000 to 6,000 years pass with chaos, turmoil, destruction, death, killing, all of this stuff because of sin. When he could have abolished it right then and there, but then to ultimately actually have himself come down to be tortured, killed, and you know, viciously beaten and killed. If he could have
viciously beaten and killed, yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
When in return, God could have just as easily forgave the sin, and everybody could have lived on prosperous lives and great lives. That was one of the questions.
Now that question,
the other question
right
was. The other question was, does sin basically have a time limit on it? Are things that was considered sin 2,000 to 6,000 years ago, are they still considered sins today?
All right. Now you have to name those sins that are 6,000 years old that you're talking about, and then you got to name sins today. So you got to go back. Like, if you're going to mention that,
These are some of the ones that I actually mentioned before. The ones that I mentioned was the ones that I mentioned before was actually how women needed to have their heads covered. Women couldn't cut their hair. Men and women couldn't wear a certain type of apparel.
Materials, mixed materials.
You
talking about the laws.
You couldn't actually eat certain types of foods. And that's just to name a few. I don't necessarily. I mean, I can look up a whole lot more, but those are just to name a few. And at one point, they were considered sin. They were considered sinful. And they were considered, the term missing the mark, so to speak. And then the other question that I actually had, I actually have to think about that one because it's not coming straight off the top of my head. But those are two questions that I.
Well, your first question, if you're asking me, you're asking this question: why didn't God just forgive Adam? Like, why didn't he just forgive Adam, and everything would be completely different? He didn't have to come down and die. Why didn't he just forgive him?
Yeah, well, I just want to put this side note in there. I'm asking these questions because these are questions that unbelievers and people who actually have a problem with the whole concept of sin and redemption, these are questions that I have been asked a lot of times. So I'm just coming from the avenue of people who ask these questions.
Now, with that question, I'm going to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have an answer for you to say why God chose to do it that way. All I can say is that really is that's the way that he chose to do it. It's nothing in the Bible or in the Word of God that says why didn't he just choose to forgive them the way you're saying it. Like, there's no answer for that question. It's only because he chose to do it the way that he chose to do it. So, I mean, I don't think there's no one that can actually answer that question.
Well, then that's when the whole concept comes into kind of a problem, that's when you run into.
Maybe he just likes entertainment.
Or maybe that particular view of God is malevolent. Because, for instance, I said malevolent because, first of all, for all of those who don't know what the term means, the term basically means someone who causes harm or ill will against someone. If I have the authority to take away pain, and my purpose for you is not to endure pain, or my purpose for you is not to actually go through pain, then I'm going to take that away from you. And I'm not going to allow you to go through things that you don't necessarily have to go through. And some people may question that, well, maybe this is the test. Well, maybe it's necessarily not a test. And how about children who actually suffer? How about babies, you know, who actually suffer? How about people who have mental illnesses actually suffer? What type of test is that? And how in the world can that be a test for somebody that necessarily can't get cured or can't get free from? And some people may say, well, it's not a test for them. It's a test for somebody else. How rude and disrespectful is that for somebody to say that? And dishonest.
So you're saying, what you're actually saying is, why would God allow anybody to have a sickness and be sick and die? Is that what you're saying?
Entertainment purposes.
No, I'm not saying it.
You're saying that why would God allow? Now, if you're going to use pain, you're mm-hmm. saying that really what you're saying that pain shouldn't even exist, really.
No. I'm not saying pain exists. We live in a world where things are going to happen. Period.
Here's what I'm saying. Whether you believe in sin or don't believe in sin. But you're just saying, why would God allow?
Why would God allow certain things if he has the power to abolish them, to totally take it away? And I say that for two reasons. Number one, I say that is because there are people who believe in an afterlife, or there are people who believe in God actually creating a world where there is no pain, there is no sin, there is no sorrow. If that's the case and God is capable of doing that, then why did God wait all this time to actually allow that world to exist?
So you're saying, why didn't he just create the perfect world and just let it be perfect?
Because
for entertainment purposes.
Because that world is something that he actually promised. Well, this is something that God actually promised from a Christian's point of view. If that's the case, then why isn't it here now? Why hasn't it been here since the beginning?
Now, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, we're talking that from the Bible, God is the creator of the world. Right, he's the creator. He's sovereign. He can, according to the Bible, I mean, he can do.
Oh, that was the other question too. I'm gonna try not to forget it. Go ahead.
Whatever he wants, like his will, like I mean, he can. If he speak it, he can speak it into existence. Right, he can make it happen however he wants to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now, how about, let's just speak in this way. How about if this, the way it is his perfect will? How about because he's, let's just say, and I know you might say, oh, you're going to say because he's God, but if he's God and he has the power to do that, how about if he just doesn't want to do it the way the people that you heard feel as though that he should have done it?
The only thing I can say about that is, because God says in the word that God created that world. God already created that world. So in that lies some truth of God does not want his people to suffer Because if that was the case, then there would be no such thing as heaven. Because this world, this suffering, would always last and always last and always last. But God actually made a loophole, which is heaven. And he made this perfect world. So what's the purpose of suffering for people that have that can't necessarily get themselves out of those suffering situations?
If can I ask you both a question? Can I ask you both a question? I don't know why you're rejecting what I said so much.
No, I'm not rejecting it at all.
For entertainment purposes, period. Period. That's about the best answer that I could come up with for that question, for that first question.
Yeah, but this is the thing. The only reason why that's not accepted, because people, especially people of faith, would not accept that God is playing games with their lives.
Okay.
I'll ask this.
We play play games. We're God's reflection.
I understand that, but now check this out, Jay. Do you think?
I'm gonna say. Let me ask you this. Do y'all play chess? Do y'all play chess?
Of course.
Yeah, I play chess.
You play chess, right? Now, when you play chess, and I know Steve, he plays chess too, right? So when you play chess, every move that you make can either break you or make you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the decisions that you make have consequences with inside the rules of the game.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So there is a rule. You like the pieces have the ways that they move. You know, the king, he can move one step at a time. The queen, she can move diagonally across the whole board, upside, horizontal, you know, just she can move.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the pawns, their first move, they can move either two steps or one step, right? So my whole thing is, inside the rules of the game of chess, the ultimate goal is to checkmate the king. Am I right? That's the ultimate goal. And there are two kingdoms battling within the rules of the game to be the one to checkmate the other.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So, now, my whole thing is, I don't know exactly, I never actually did the research of who made the game of chess, like who was the first, what was the first chess board, who created the game. But normally, if you look at chess game and you talk about chess, they say playing chess is just like living in life.
Yeah.
Every move that you make, decisions you make, has a consequence. So my whole thing is, in the beginning, dealing with the scriptures, when God told Adam and Eve, right, because this not to eat from the tree, which tree to eat from, and that when he told them that if you eat from this tree, you would die. It was a consequence from it. So my whole thing is like this. Are people saying that God is, if God is wrong because he had rules and the rules was broken, and now they're saying, why don't he just go back against the rules that he set and just change the rules to the game?
I mean, we're really asking, why did he put the tree there in the first place?
No, not even that only, but now he's just a passerby, just watching the game that he created for them to play, being entertained by it.
No, I'm saying, though, right now, if someone is playing the game of chess, right, and they don't like the way, and they don't like the way they were checkmated based upon the decisions that they made, are we supposed to change the rules of the game to
No, check it.
Them?
Listen.
I'm just saying. Are we supposed to change the rules?
Listen, hold. To answer your question, we are referring to God.
But you said last show. No, hold up. We're referring to God, right? But now, when you use an example to explain your point, we don't be like, oh, now we're talking about God, you're using an example to explain your point.
Now,
so now
if you allow me to
speak, about God.
If you allow me to speak and you follow your own rules that you set forth for the show, you would know that I wasn't going in that direction. I wasn't saying, yo, well, you can't use this because this is God's. I wasn't going to say that. But again, you didn't let me speak.
Well, just go ahead and speak, advocate.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much, man. All right. My thing is, this is God. All right. First of all, you actually don't want to believe the term that Mr. Ex-Catholic said, where God is just playing a game with us, and we are pawns, and we are kings and bishops. See, you don't necessarily want to accept that. Because
Wait, listen, I'm not finished. No, yeah, because I got something for what you're about to say. Because
in actuality,
I even gave that example. Go ahead, I'm waiting for you. Go ahead on and fall for it. Go ahead.
In actuality, as a matter of fact, I will let Mr. Ex-Catholic explain why he said that it's for entertainment. Go ahead.
The reason I say it's for entertainment is basically, well, it has to do with what you said in the beginning. He created all. He's the almighty. He's the powerful, right? The most powerful can abolish, you know, any bad thing. You know, he could do anything in the world, right? Created the world. But then he creates the world. We become his pawns, for example, and we play the game, and we actually make mistakes or have to do things that have consequences. If we were his people, and he loved us, and he cared about us, and saw us going towards sin, right, and could make it right, why choose to sit idly by and just watch the game?
So what you're saying is, if you was about to get on a bridge and jump off and commit suicide, why don't a hand come down from heaven and lift you off the bridge?
No, he's not saying that.
No, not necessarily that.
No, wait.
It's more talking about how God, if you look at him in our lifetime right now, just sits idly by. All you have to do is just believe in him, and if you believe in him, that hey, you'll see me again. You'll be up in heaven with me. If you don't, you're just gonna end up in hell. Meanwhile, in your life, just try not to sin. And if you do, ask for forgiveness, you know, and change your ways. But if you don't, you know, believe in me, ask for forgiveness, you'll just end up in hell anyway. But I love you.
So what you're saying is, like this, if God set rules, right, and you choose to keep breaking them you're saying that his love should just be like, hey, you know what? Forget my rules, forget my principles and standards. Let my people just keep disrespecting me and think my word doesn't have no power or nothing, and I'm just going to make everything right.
He did it for his son. His son died. His son died for it.
No,
he let his own son die.
Yo. What did his son die for?
For our sins. But he still let his son die. He didn't even have to let. He's God,
no,
for God's sake. For God's sake,
you
he's God. He didn't even have
right?
to let his son die. He could have just made it right.
Well, see, this is my whole questioning behind it. The reason why I question it is because it has a huge fallacy. And the fallacy is the purpose and the intent our lives is so that we can have a prosperous and healthy life. Now, with all of that being said, if God wants the best for us, if God chooses that this is what God wants, then hold on one second. Thank you. I'm sorry. If this is what God wants, then how about everybody that doesn't necessarily have the choice in the matter? and they do suffer, and they can't. It's not a test. It's not something that they have to go through to become a better person or better people. It's they have no choice in the matter, and they suffer like little children. We can't escape that because there are little children who suffer, and they can't do anything about it. How about situations like that? And I say it's very proud for someone to say, well, their death basically made something change in my life. Their death was for me to realize something. How rude is when same
Wait.
The same people would actually say that abortion is wrong. And why is abortion wrong? Abortion is wrong because you are taking that because you're taking that life which doesn't belong to you, and you're saying, well, you know, I'm kind of living this life for myself, and I don't want a kid right now. But in return, you're saying, hey, this kid died, and this kid suffered. You know, six days while this kid was alive, it suffered and suffered and suffered and suffered. Well, who cares about what the kid went through? That this kid's suffering was so that I can learn something from it. What?
Can I say something?
Hold up. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about suffering. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm trying to what's your
listen,
point?
Listen. My point is, if God has the ability and the authority and the power to eliminate suffer because his purpose is for none to suffer, then why are there people that have no choice in the matter suffer?
So what you're saying is that why would God even allow suffering to exist in the earth realm if he wanted peace and love for all mankind?
That's part of it. My question to you is, why is there suffer for those who can't learn from it? Because Christianity teaches suffering actually allows you to be made into pure gold. That's what the Christian faith teaches. That's what a lot of faiths, not just the Christian faith, teach that.
No, but are you talking about suffering for the sake of Christ?
Suffering.
That's what you're talking
about?
You're dealing with persecutions for his name's sake? Are you dealing with those that were witnesses for him?
Americans in a broad sense do not suffer for the sake of Christ because we live in a very free religious world.
All right. So what I'm saying is like this. We live where we live. All right? We can go on here and we could put the measuring thing ruler on suffering from this country to that country to this country and that country. But wherever you are, wherever you live at, that's where you live at. And whatever that suffering level is, it's still suffering, regardless of it. Because just like we talked before, a starving child in America is still starving like a child in another country. Starvation is starvation.
Listen. No, you're missing the point. Listen. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a situation where you was going through something and you said or you believed and you claimed this that I'm going through this because God has a bigger plan for me? Have you ever said that in your life?
No. My whole thing is like this. This is what I'm going to say. You're not going to tell me what I said. I'm saying like this.
I'm going through,
my question is like this. When I go through, whatever God allows or permits for me to go through, it's not for me to give up on my faith because God allowed me to go through something. Just like Job in the Bible. Job went through all those suffering things, but he still held on to God.
I'm going to talk about Job in a second, but I'm asking you. I'm asking you. Have you ever been in a situation where you said, this is a test, and I know this is a test because because of all this suffering that I'm going through, God has a bigger plan for me, and I'm not suffering for naught. I'm suffering because there's a bigger purpose and bigger plan in my life, and God's going to bless me behind this suffering.
My belief take on that is that regardless of what it is, whether it's good or bad, God is going to get the glory from it.
You're not answering my question.
It's for the glory of God. No, I am answering your question.
Have you ever said that about yourself?
No, I don't word it the way you're wording it, so no. No,
okay. All right.
No, not the way you're wording it. Because my thing is like this. Put it this way. Listen, and this is something that's so crazy. This is something that's so crazy. A person, there are people that sold drugs before, right? I've sold drugs before. There are people who got killed selling drugs before. I didn't get killed. But I don't look at myself as any greater than the person that did. You know what I'm saying? I don't look at it like even God loved me more than that he loved that person because I didn't die.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. All I'm talking about is the suffering aspect of it. Well,
but
if
Aaron,
you
people,
didn't say
people,
it, I know that there are lots and lots of people
Aaron,
I haven't
people,
said it in my
listen,
lifetime where I said,
yo,
I'm going through these
suffer things. In this world, man.
Listen. I'm going through these things because God has a bigger plan for my life. I'm suffering so that I can be rewarded after my suffering. I've said that before. With the lack of education and knowledge behind the reason why I'm saying these things, now I no longer say that. Because I don't view it as suffering. I don't view that as suffering for a greater cause. I don't see that. I don't look at it that way. Now, I'm talking about suffering in the sense of somebody who doesn't have a choice in the matter, meaning little children who don't have the option to actually come out of their suffering. How about those? Are you saying that God wishes harm on people? Are you saying that God wishes harm on small children?
When did I ever say that?
I'm not saying that you did. I'm asking you from a Christian's perspective.
Yo, but God doesn't wish that any would perish, man.
That's my question. So if that's
the
case, if that's the case, then my question is, why does God allow people or children or whatever the case is who don't have the will or don't have the choice to take themselves out of certain type of suffering situations?
Well, let me ask you this.
Allow them to suffer?
Let me ask you this. Does death have an age limit on it?
Why does God allow little children to
suffer? No, answer that question. Does death have an age limit on it?
We're talking about God, and we're talking about...
We're talking about suffering. So what I'm saying
listen,
is like
listen,
this.
Ho, ho, ho.
No,
death,
no, no,
after
on,
you die,
no,
you don't suffer anymore.
Let me say this.
I'm sorry.
They could have suffered, though.
Christian perspective,
no.
You do if you don't believe.
Let me ask you this. So what you're saying that suffering should have an age limit. That's what you're saying.
I didn't say suffering should have an age limit.
No, so you're saying, what you're saying is why would God allow children to suffer?
Why would God allow children to suffer? Why would God allow somebody to actually be born with no limbs? Why would God allow people to have two sex organs having to deal with that? Why would God allow people to have mental disorders growing up with that for the rest of their lives and they can't do anything about it? Why would God allow any of these things to happen where people can't fix the situations? I'm not just talking about children. I'm talking about people that don't have the choice to fix their suffering.
Well, let me ask you this question. So what you're saying, so now I get you clear. So you're, really what you're saying, why would God even allow somebody to be born blind, born deaf, like stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I think ex-Catholic, he hung up by mistake. I think he's trying to get back in.
Oh, he's trying to get back in?
Yes, sir.
Oh. There you go. Hold on.
For entertainment purposes.
Oh gosh. Go ahead. You asked the question. You asked the question, Jay.
Yeah. That just threw me off. What were you just saying just now?
You said that, so why are people born blind or something
no,
like that?
No, I'm saying that's what you're saying. So what you're saying is, why would anything be wrong with any human being that's born? Why are people born completely perfect with no flaws?
I know why, living in the world that I live in scientifically, but from a Christian aspect, no, I don't know why.
So what you're saying, you don't know why. So according to God, everybody the Bible that you read, everybody should be born perfect.
Are they supposed to be born perfect?
No, but I'm saying, like, no. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. Could it have been the wickedness in the sins of man that has created all of these defects?
See, exactly. When you put sin into play, it all.
I'm answering.
When you put sin into play, it all comes back to what God allows. Now, if God actually said to Adam, "Hey, I just forgive you," and 10,000 generations later don't necessarily have to suffer because of you. Because God is all powerful, and God can actually take away harm.
So what you're saying? So what I'm saying is, so really, really, what you're saying there is that God would have just—he could have took that away and just made man without any thought. He could made man to have a mind to not think to do wrong.
No, that's an option, but my thing is, listen, I'm going to answer.
God would have fixed the situation. I just want to know if I'm clear. Hold on, I got to say this before I lose this thought.
All right.
If what you're saying, if God could have fixed the situation, now what you're saying is, with God fixing the situation, that he would have gave man a mind not to ever sin, like, so man couldn't sin again to create the whole pattern over again?
All right, now to answer that question,
sin was the problem, and then he had to fix it because he got the power to take it away, so he just took it away, and now is he still going to leave man with the option to choose?
My answer to that is, what happens is, if I do something against myself or against my child or against my wife or against a friend of mine, then
you're not God, though. Remember that. You're not God. Remember, you know.
Listen, Jay. Okay. Can't understand what I'm saying unless you allow me to speak.
That's what I'm saying. So allow me to speak too when I'm speaking. You become your too. So go ahead.
Jay, what are you talking about? Listen. What happens is when I cause harm on myself, or when I cause harm on my wife, my kids, my friends, my family, my neighbors, whomever, if I cause harm, then it's every right for the harm to come back on me. It's every right for something to happen to the people who I did it to direct, because that's what happened. But it's totally unfair for me to pick up basically a crime that was committed against someone who I never knew, someone who probably didn't even exist. I have to pay for their crimes when all somebody could have done, who had the authority to do so, was to say, you don't have to pay for it. Whoever did the crime can do the time, and that has nothing to do with you. But in respect to Christianity and other religions alike, the whole premise of it is, it doesn't matter what you did or what you didn't do. You still reap the consequences of somebody who lived 10,000 years before you. What type of plan is that? And then for somebody to come back down to basically fix something that could have easily been fixed or that could have never been broken from jump. And the way he fixes it, he gets tortured and beat up and spit upon and killed in the process of it. That doesn't even literally make sense.
Let me explain something to both of you. It's like you're going to rent an apartment, right? And
make this one good.
Your landlord comes to meet you, and you know, you sign the paperwork, you put the deposit down, you do all that, everything's gravy. You got your apartment now. You're feeling great, right? And then he disappears. You never see your landlord again. Your water pipe burst in your apartment. Now, somewhere, I guess, on the contract, it said that just pray that I come around when your pipes are broken or when something's messed up, and maybe I might come, right?
Just keep praying. Landlord.
Yeah. Just keep praying, or just keep hoping. Keep calling me. Maybe I might come. Maybe I might answer the phone. But that in my opinion, that's what the whole Christianity is, right? So we're the actual tenants, you know, that actually signed a contract with God, and we're living on this planet. And then anything that's going on in our lives, you just gotta hope and pray. But he ends up being an absentee landlord. He ends up being not there. You're just hoping that he'll be there. You're going through some tough time in your life. You're praying to God. You understand?
So God is the absentee landlord.
Yeah, sad to say.
So that's what you believe. You believe that God is the absentee.
I know some people get mad about that one. I'm sorry.
I'm saying you believe that he's the absentee landlord.
Yeah, but he's still the landlord, though. He's just not there. You just got to pray for him. As long as you believe in him, you know he was there.
So you said God is not there.
All right. Basically, what I'm saying is,
Let me ask Kathleen the question.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you this: do you believe you're breathing because God is still allowing you to breathe, or are you just breathing because you're just breathing?
My answer to that question is, I don't even know why I'm breathing.
I know why I'm breathing.
I don't know why I'm still breathing.
The reason why I'm breathing is because I have a respiratory system that allows me to breathe. I have all of the tools that I need within inside my body to allow that to happen.
That was created by your father and mother.
Yes, and created by their father. Other and so on and so on. Also created by photosynthesis, carbon dioxide, oxygen. It's a lot that plays a role in it. But I am not.
Who created all that? Who created all that?
No, I can tell you from a layman's point of view.
So who created all that?
The absentee landlord.
Well, listen. I don't necessarily want to get into, you know, the whole existence of life. That's kind of, you know, straying off our conversation. Hold on.
What's going on, bro?
What's up, Jay?
What's going on? This DA, man, he got a few questions for you since you're back on the line right now.
We got
47 minutes left on the show. He got a few questions for you.
All right,
okay, well, my first, since we're talking about the wages of sin, like I said, I asked these questions last time, and these questions weren't necessarily answered. The first question is, it's going to be complicated, but basically what happens is we see sin because if you believe in the concept of Christianity, the fall of Adam, and because of the fall of Adam, his fall allowed every other man to basically to fall under the punishment that he did. Now we all know that Jesus is the redeemer from that punishment, long term, meaning life after death. But still, we still suffer, and we still, you know, we still reap the benefits because of what Adam did. My first question is, if God is all powerful and God actually has the authority to basically change things and make things happen, instead of the 2,000 to 6,000 years of chaos, turmoil, destruction, death, violence, all of these things to happen, and then for the ultimate death, which is Christ, for him to be brutally tortured, you know, spit on, and then killed, the worst way that a man could be killed at his time. So we know, if all God could have done was just forgave Adam? That was my first question. Why does there necessarily have to be suffering because of the sin of a 10,000-year-old man that we don't necessarily know anything about except what the stories of the Bible basically says, but we basically suffer from the sin that he committed when God has the authority to have annihilated that, and that would not have been the case? That was the first question. The second question was, do sin have a time limit on it? Meaning that sins from 2 to 10,000 years ago, are they still considered sin now? Or are certain sins considered sins that was considered sins then, are they considered sins now? I'll just leave off with the first two, and then I'll ask the last one later.
All right. Well, we going back to Genesis, it's a lot of creatures that was involved in God's judgment when it comes to sin. Satan, who once was Lucifer in the beginning, pride has exalted him to try to overthrow God. And because he tried to overthrow God, God has expelled him from his position of rulership over the realm that God put him over. I'm going to say it like that. I would have to go in the scripture and show you some things that I'm saying, but I'm quoting some things in Ezekiel where God said the day that you was created, you was created perfect. You know, God made him unique. And I'm also quoting from Isaiah chapter 14, where it says that
basically talking about the fall of Lucifer.
Right. Okay, now when he got kicked out, okay, he got kicked out, and so now his aim is to distort God's creation. Why not totally annihilate Satan? He allowed Satan to exist to prove not only to Satan, who he created, Lucifer, but all of those that followed him, because it was a third in Revelation said that followed, and that means they was right behind Satan. So he also has some other creatures whom he was ruling over and chose to follow his pride and him trying to overthrow God, but yet God cast him down or cast him out, and that's when you get the chaos in the earth. But
all right.
Yet God, listen,
okay.
God told Adam, now to re means to do over. See, I'm getting a little deep in this, but it takes scholars to be able to dialogue.
Okay, hold on. I have to stop you right there. I apologize. Can I hold on?
Go ahead.
I have to stop you right there. The reason why is because I just want to, you know, answer some questions before you go on, and then, you know,
yeah,
like,
I
just want
to show you the consequences of why not just forgiving Adam.
No, I know.
Understand
that.
Yeah, let him go. Let him do how he going to do it. Now, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna get to the question of why not just forgive Adam. I'm dealing with the first question. So what I'm saying is God have a lot of his creations involved in this whole thing. God's
okay.
Obedience is God's ultimate way. What religion did he teach Adam? What religion did he teach Abraham? What religion did he teach Isaac? What religion did he teach Jacob? What religion did he teach Isaiah, the prophets, Jeremiah, Jesus Christ himself? He didn't teach them no religion. He taught them obey God. Hold on one second.
Who was that?
Yeah, so we're talking about God having his creation, obedience. He didn't teach them religion, because religion, you got billions of religions in this world, all kinds of traditions and rituals. God did not teach. If you took one person out of all those billions of religion and put them in a room, you would have chaos. God is not the author of confusion. Satan is. So now God cannot be the God of all those religions because there's the God of this world whom Satan has blinded the mind of the people that disbelieve. So now what is it that God has taught them? He taught them obedience. And so he's taught them obedience, but yet dealing with the first man, Adam, he disobeyed. And disobeying God brings about consequences. However you choose to do it, it brings about consequences. God wants a sacrifice. He wants an offering. And what he has determined was the remission of sins is the shedding of blood. He wants a sacrifice. He wants a sacrifice to appease the guilty. So who was going to be a sacrifice to appease God, to cause God to be, okay, all right, this is cool what Adam did. He did a great violation. The great violation was disobedience. The great violation is disobedience. And so now how can Adam fix this thing? Adam tried to cover himself up with fig leaves. He tried to cover himself. We know that wasn't great. So God did forgive Adam, and he made him a covering, which is of skins. Where did God get the skins from? He got it from an animal. He got it from an animal. So he allowed the innocent to die to free the guilty, something that they had nothing to do with it. So by the shedding of blood, we know forgiveness has come, the remission of sin has come. That was orchestrated in the beginning of time, and God was yet pointing to a redeemer and a savior because Satan has tempted Adam and caused Adam to violate God's laws. God already had a redemptive plan in mind, but yet he's showing his love to Adam because he created Adam with a free will. You can choose what you want, but don't choose it. Check this out. I said before, Satan, he uses law to bring about sin. The law was do not eat from the tree in the midst of the garden. That was a command. That was a law. So because the law was there, Satan can use that. So now today, we're not under the law. Satan can't use nothing against us today. But that's another topic. But God didn't forgive him because God ain't no... He's not cheap, and he's not no whoremonger. He don't give himself. He's not lightly. God is in secret, and they that pray to him in secret, he will reward them openly. He's not no prostitute and loose. And so now there is a consequences towards disobeying him. And so now the consequences was death, but yet the scholars say Adam didn't die. We know Adam lived hundreds of years after he disobeyed God, but he died a spiritual death. So he needed to resurrect. He needed life. God forgave him.
I have a question for you. What do you mean by when you said that Adam died spiritually? What do you mean?
He died spiritually. Okay, at one time, the Bible says God walked in the garden in the cool of the day.
Mm-hmm.
After Adam disobeyed God, you don't see that unique closeness and conversation according to Scripture.
So okay, so
go to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 says, it's not that God's hand is shortened that he can't save, nor is his ear heavy that he can't hear, but your sins have separated. That's the wages right there. But your sins
so you are saying that what happened with Adam is just because God no longer actually walked with him, then Adam died spiritually.
No, I'm saying just because God made a command and said the day that you eat, you shall surely die. So the day that he ate, he did surely die. Folk walking around today, they like zombies. They spiritually dead. And folk that's in religion, they spiritually dead because their spirit is not awakened. Their spirit is not united with God. They're not hearing
So you're
his voice.
Saying... You're actually saying the proof behind what you are calling spiritually dead is God actually not walking with Adam. Is that what you're saying?
The proof is the word of God says he shall surely die. What death did he die? Is God a liar? God, why would you say the day that Adam eat, if we went to the scriptures, God said, the day that you eat, you shall surely die. So, God, the day that Adam ate, whether it was over 6,000, 8,000, or 10,000 years ago, whatever, it's no more than 10,000. Adam wouldn't be no more than 10,000 years.
It doesn't make sense, but go ahead.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, if Adam, the day that Adam ate from that tree, I mean, Adam had sons after that. So why would God say the day that you eat, you will surely die? And so,
question to you is
spiritually.
From what you just said right now, it was proof that that Adam died was because God used to walk with Adam, and then God stopped walking with Adam. So my question to you is that proof that God separated himself and he died spiritually? Adam died spiritually because God didn't walk with him anymore. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I would use that to back up what I'm saying. He died spiritually, and also to be able to interpretate, surely this day you will surely die. And we know there is the physical death, then there's the spiritual death, and then there's eternal death. There's three different deaths that the scripture talks about. And spiritually, mm-hmm. because the word of God says, Jesus said to a man, he said, let the dead bury the dead. How could the dead bury the dead? The dead bury the dead because they are spiritually dead.
Is my mic open? Can you guys hear me? Are you taking calls or are you just talking amongst yourselves?
No, we're actually
taking calls. You run it, Jay.
Hold on one second.
I think it's a number up here. This must be the guy. It's not a regular number. You must be calling from your computer.
No, I'm calling from a phone.
Oh, because it's a number on here. It's like nothing but ones.
Oh, I really can't help that. But you're talking to me now. Can we talk
or
not?
Go ahead. Can
yeah, thank
talk,
you.
Sir?
Yeah, thank you. I think there's a little bit of a delay. But look here, what I want to comment, I think we mainly missed the point. Well, they were kicked out of the garden, so there was a separation. There was a change of relationship. But what I think is often missed, and it's out of arrogance and ego, men do not place the emphasis that God placed. And, for example, I'm looking here at the woman. The woman was the ringleader in the sin. And, you know, the thing is, unless we...
I have to stop it for a second. Let me stop you for a second. You bring in a woman, it ain't got nothing to do with ego, but listen, God didn't give the command to the woman.
Let me finish my point. You're dead wrong about that. And if you're wrong about
something... Prove it to me in scripture.
I'm going to prove it to you if you allow me.
Let him go to Genesis.
What I'm saying is this. Now, you can say that if you want, but the fact of the matter is, when the truth was transmitted to the woman, whether she got it from Adam or whether she got it from God, it was the same truth. And you say, well, how do you know that? She was punished for her disobedience. And God, you know, it says, will not the judge of the whole earth do what's right? So the woman was a major issue, and God punished her. God had her on the judgment seat, and she was actually punished worse than the man. But the emphasis is what do we learn from that today? Men and women are not communicating. They're still, you know, at each other's throat. They don't understand each other's or the issues that they're dealing with, and there's just a whole lot of ego and confusion. I mean, look at the divorce rate. Look at the church. The church is pathetic. There's a higher divorce rate in the church than there is the general society. So the church is not leading in anything good. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but no. I totally disagree with you.
Well, what
I mean,
do you disagree with the
listen,
numbers?
I agree when you talk about, see, you get into marriage now, like, but marriage, I mean, 70% of marriages, whether it's in church or outside of church. Statistics says that 70% of marriages fail. If they said 70% of trains crash going from Trenton to New York, I'm not going to get in that train.
Yeah, you'd be a fool to get on one. But see, the point is...
Listen for a second. But
I mean, I've been listening to you all the while. I'm trying to make a point.
Hold on. Listen. We the host of the shows. I'm going to let... Wendell, you're going to get your chance to say what you're going to say. Let the brother finish talking and say what you're going to say to make his point. And then... You can say something,
He can speak, I can fall back. He asked me a question. You know, and I was just, you know, just clearing his mind so he can get some light on where I'm at with the idea, you know, like, you know, far as with marriage. But that 70% is failing, 70% of it ain't doing it God's way. If you do it God's way, marriage do work. You just got to, the man and the woman have to do it God's way. And so, you know, the thing is, they're failing because they're not doing it God's way. You know, that's 70%. I'm saying I don't care if it's in the church or out the church. I'm just speaking with statistics, and I truly can admit that, you know, marriages is made for strong people no matter how you look at it. You're talking about two human beings and trying to make it work. Till death do they part. You know?
I want him to make his point because marriage is not the topic today. Topic. You know, that's the torn. So, bro, go ahead and make your point that you was going to make.
Well, then is the topic the wages of sin, and sin has affected everything we do. So
I understand what you're saying. But I'm just saying, I just want to make it clear
that
marriage isn't. Marriage isn't the main topic, but I'm saying you can use marriage any way you want, but I just want to let everybody, the listeners, know that marriage isn't the topic of the show. You know what I mean? That could be a whole nother topic in itself, just dealing with each other.
Right, but let me tell you this. I think it is, and I'm going to tell you why it is. The reason it is because we're dealing with the breakup of the family. The most hellish thing that happened in the garden was the destruction of the family. That's what Satan's aim was to do, and that's what he did. And that's what's continuing to occur right now. God created the man and woman, brought them together in paradise, gave them one law, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they were persuaded to do it by a supernatural being known as, I believe that was Satan operating through the serpent. And as a result of that, we're in virtually the same situation today. We're divided. We're arguing. Remember it said the woman's desire shall be to her husband. And that was not a good desire, by the way. That was a bad desire. That was a desire to overthrow him.
Give me a minute, Jay. Give me a minute. Listen, my man, listen. First of all, to get to any root of any conversation or argument, you got to get to the foundation and to the base. The base, first, you was talking about the command that God gave, and that we have to. You took me and my man in conversation, and you said we have to go back and we have to look at Eve. But if you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, now I told you to bring me proof. I'm bringing you proof. This is Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and a river went out. So God was talking to the man, and he put the man in the garden and told the man not to eat from this tree. He said, all the trees, it's in verse 15, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The woman ate from the tree, ain't nothing happened.
Oh, wait, you're wrong. Okay, okay. I want to comment on that because you're dead wrong about that.
As far as us consequences, though, I'm talking about we reaping the consequences of something that Adam did.
I want to comment on that when you finish, and I'm talking to the host.
Everybody can't talk at the same time because it sounds like a bunch of gibberish.
Yeah, but you have to listen for a second. I'm contaminated as a human being, a human race, has the consequences or death, going to die. We got to die because of the sin that not the woman did, but the sin that Adam did. Why? Because the woman don't got the seed. The woman, she's fertile. The seed is in the man. The seed is in the man. The seed fertiles the egg. But the
okay,
seed
that's
is in the man.
But that's not the point. Allow me to speak now. Okay, in Genesis chapter 3, where the actual sin takes place, verse 2, it says, "And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden." Would you let me finish?
Go ahead.
I heard some background noise. It said here, "And the woman said," verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2 of Genesis. It says, "And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." So the woman, like,
Let me finish my point. I just want to let you know that she didn't. She said, "God said, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." God didn't say that.
Finish the point. You don't know what God said.
Let me finish the point.
The woman knew what God's command was, okay? She even quoted it. She wasn't supposed to eat from that tree. That's the point. And you can't you can't eat anything without touching it. Touching something is part of eating because you got to touch it with your mouth. So the point is that we will never get anywhere unless we deconstruct what happened and both the man and the woman get on one accord. You can't do it by yourself. No man can. The woman and the man have to work in concert. Women today have as much power legally and socially as men do. And men are stupid for believing that they don't. So unless we can communicate with women and men and women strike up an agreement based on what's right, they're forever going to be chasing their tails and in confusion.
Okay, may I chime in? Both of you made valid points, but I really do, and I know both of you are coming from a biblical standpoint, and even by you two coming from a biblical standpoint, there is no type of agreeance within that. Well, my point is, in that sense, how it's very easy to argue over something as petty as, no, God told them to eat this type of fruit, and no, it was sin then. This wasn't sin. Because the book, the Bible, is such an, I say it all the time, the book is such an arbitrary book, and it can mean anything you allow it to mean. You can read into it in any type of way you choose to. This is the result of it. Two people that ultimately believe in the same thing but have different, totally different views on it. Now, I said that to say this. Sin, whether you believe in it or not, whether you don't. My thing is, if God is all-powerful and God can actually take away, and his purpose and God's intent is for people not to suffer, why was it there to begin with? Now, I know you're going to say
I can answer that. I'll answer that.
I want him to answer it right now.
No, I'm going to let you answer. I'm just not finished with the question.
Sure, go ahead.
I know there will be because of Satan, there will be because of Adam. But my question to you is,
how come God just could not have forgave him, period?
Well, okay, well, number one, let's deal with this in two parts. You ask a two-part question. Number one, why was the tree there? Why did God test his creatures, that is, the man and the woman? Why did God do that? Because God is sovereign, and God has the right to do that. We give people tests today. Wait a minute. Let me finish the point. I took tests when I was in school, and I took tests to be approved or vetted by the entity that had authority over me. God is the ultimate authority. Everything stops at God. The buck stops there. Okay, so God has the right, the sovereign right, to test his creatures, and that's what he did. His creatures, on the other hand, have the obligation to obey what he said. So that's the point right there. God has the right to do it.
Jay Miller, can I get in?
Hold on. Wait.
I was just closing.
Oh, yeah. Is that my two?
Yeah, man. Y'all won't let me in the round table.
Okay, go ahead. I'll definitely be quiet for this one.
Go ahead, Machu.
Yeah. The thing is, man, I'm gonna give all y'all some lashes. We got five African men debating European mythology. That's the first time. Five African men on the phone debating European mythology. Right.
Well, first of all, you're assuming that the people haven't vetted what's being said and that you know better, which I would disagree with.
Okay. All right, Mr. Solution.
I don't think you have any outside information superior in terms of the Genesis account. I don't think you have any better information. Produce it.
Okay, here we go right here. These are the story of Genesis. These are man's interpretations.
Okay, but this Genesis, what's your story? Where's your information coming from?
Hold on. These are man's interpretations and mythologies of how creation started. Now, for you to say that there are anything other than that.
Okay, well, don't waste time on this. Just tell us where the real story is.
Huh?
Where's the real story?
They're all stories, dude.
Is the real story?
There ain't no such thing as a real story. They're all mythological stories. These are all man's interpretations of how he believes creation started.
Okay, that's your belief. We believe
that's not a belief.
Is the real story. We have as much a right to our beliefs as you do yours.
No, that's not a belief.
You believe nothing. We believe something. So let us dissect what we have.
No, these are actual facts. These are creation stories. Let me show you how they're creation stories. If you tell me, well, whatever man you want to come up with or woman that you want to come up with who wrote the Genesis story, which is who, by the way? What's the name?
Come on, man. Just get to your point.
What's the name?
Get to your point.
Who?
Oh, no, that is his point.
That is my point. What's the name?
I have a point. I know this guy. I've talked to him before. This guy doesn't have a point.
That's all right. He's
wasting time.
He's free to speak his mind.
What's the name?
Let me say something. Listen, this is Jay Miller right talking right here. This is Dirty Church Radio, right?
Yeah.
Dirty Church Radio is a place where, regardless of what you believe or what you're connected to, you have a right to speak and say something. Even though I am a minister and I believe in Christ, I believe in salvation, I believe in the Spirit of God, but I am still open-minded enough to have a platform where brothers or whoever, not just brothers, white, Chinese, whoever, can come on here and say something. So let's all be respectful and let everyone say what they're going to say. You don't have to cut them off. I know it gets a little intense because I do it too. But let everyone please try to, like, let the person say what they want to say and make their point. But this
and
the
hold on, Jay. Just piggyback off of what you just said,
person,
Jay.
Let me just say one more thing. To the person that's making their point, get to your point. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Like, make the point. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just get to the point.
Amen.
Drag it out.
Just to basically piggyback off of what Jay said. We all have to understand this. A lot of us are not going to agree on certain type of things, but if we come into this conversation with an open mind to understand each and everybody's points and values in their points, the conversation would go a whole lot smoother. Not in the sense of I'm trying to prove you wrong or you're trying to prove me wrong. All I'm doing is sharing my thoughts. You could accept it or you could put it to the side. That's where the respect and the through conversation can come from.
That's all. So it's no disrespect to anyone. So whoever was talking last, I don't know if it was my two or the other brother, continue right here, can make your point, and let's keep it moving, man. Let's make this thing good. You know what I'm saying?
Let me go at it this route, Dan. I would just say this. I would say it would be wise, particularly if we are talking to come to some camaraderie or to teach something, is that to know the history of what we're talking about, and particularly when we're talking about creation stories and things of that nature. I mean,
that's not the topic of this. The topic of this show
was
is
wages,
the wages
of sin.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Do we going back there?
Yeah.
No,
go ahead.
We're eventually, it's going there, but y'all talked about something and he asked you a question.
I just basically poked the question.
Jay, you got to be conscious of your time, too.
Not necessarily still be on air, but we can still actually have the discussion after it's off of air.
This is recorded, right, cool. So we got just go ahead. Let's get it moving.
Okay,
I just posed a question to everyone, not just one particular. My question basically was, if God has the authority and God can do all things, why couldn't God just fix it from the very, very beginning? That was my question. And then the young gentleman, I don't necessarily know who your name. Can you give me your name so I can refer to you by your name?
Doug Wendell.
Not I know who you are. The other gentleman that actually spoke.
Mr. Solution? That's me.
Mr. Solution?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Solution, yeah. Now, Mr. Solution gave an answer where he was referring back to testing, saying that, you know, God gives tests, and God basically is sovereign. God can do whatever he wants. Now, Wardell basically, or Wendell, I apologize,
hey, cool.
basically said that it happened from the very, very beginning, from the fall of Satan. Now, Metu,
yeah.
Would you have something to shed, you know, dealing with that question that I posed?
Yeah, the only thing that I would add is this. You're asking questions about mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to get all types of interpretations from that. But what you want to know if you're trying to come to some conclusion is, it would be best to know where the mythology comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Why not start there? Okay, let me be more specific. The concept of sin. It doesn't exist past 3,000 years ago. It doesn't even exist.
Okay.
The concept of sin, the one that you all are defining in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
The disobeying of God, this concept doesn't even exist. It's only 3,000 years old.
Yep.
Okay. This is Mr. Solution. May I make a comment?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, some people are going to hell, okay? And they
and hey, that one is only that one is only 2,000 years old.
Some purpose.
Hell is only 2,000 years old.
Let him say what he's gonna say. Like, let
go ahead.
Go
ahead, Mr. Solution.
Mr. Solution, you got the floor. Go ahead.
Okay, so, thank you. Some people's purpose is nothing more than to sow discord. They don't know, they won't know, and they will not allow themselves to know. They're headed to hell in a one-way suit, as it were. So they don't have any answers, and all they can project is nothingness.
Okay,
that's all they have to offer is nothing.
Just
nothing.
Say what he's saying.
No, no, no. I am. I really want to commend him on what he's saying and the reason why.
Listen. Let me interrupt. Now, I'm like-minded, like Jay Militant. You know, I'm like-minded, and the brother that got on and was talking about the word, the Bible is mythology. The story of creation is mythology. I'm not trying to debate with you on no issue, but I'm speaking with Mr. Solution. When the man came in, he did come in on something very valid. And what he came in on was, you coming from the Word of God, I'm coming from the Word of God. Actually, he was saying, all of us black African men, and we come in. In other words, I took it like, you know, we speak it like we have no sense of, like we debated. And I think the brother before him spoke about the one that asked the question. I forgot his name. But he was saying that A.D.?
D.A.
D.A. D.A.
Yeah.
That me and Solution, coming from biblical terms, supposed to be speaking the same thing, and actually he quoted some of the same thing I said, that there's billions of religions around the world. I don't consider myself of no religion, though I may participate in some type of religious traditions. But what I'm saying is, that was a sign right there that me and you dialoguing or debating or arguing, going back and forth about a verse. And he was also saying people could take the Bible and they could change it to mean whatever they wanted to mean, or translate it to be whatever. So now the other brother come in, you got to be open-minded no matter what religion you are, no matter what tradition you follow. If you're going to be a successful man in this world, because God is diverse, of course he created us different colors and so and different nationalities. So now the brother come in, his beliefs, you say he don't believe in that, he believes
that. No, I didn't say that.
That's myth.
No, I didn't say that. I never
okay
said
now
that.
Now hold on now
okay,
now we actually
back.
Yep.
I take that back.
Mr. Solution said
back.
I don't believe in nothing.
Yeah,
that
was Mr. Solution
that
said he don't believe
that's
in nothing.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Mr. Solution said he don't believe, but actually he do. He believed that the Word of God is myth. If he choose to believe that, that's his way he choose to believe. Now, if he could bring some type of proof on what he said, fine and well, too. And now, the only proof that you may bring or I may bring may be the conviction of our own spirit. Whatever light that came to you from God is that light. You got to walk in it. So, you know, we have to be open-minded. Let the brother speak his mind. You might learn something. Even if you feel as though he's speaking totally against what you say is divine and God way. But really,
okay,
like you even said, you find Mr. Solution, Brother Solution said that he finds a lot of divorces even in the churches. So it's confusion, it's sin, it's all kinds of stuff going on, even from the same biblical teachings that you say you believe in that too. Let's give the brother his fair quarters and respect him as an individual. And then if you can prove him wrong, prove him wrong. But if you let him speak his mind. Because somebody
okay,
else
now,
might come to you and say the same thing he's saying. At least you have knowledge of what he's saying. He can tell us why he feel like it's myth. I want to know where he get it from.
Okay, well, before I ask the second question so we can move on, I would allow Matu to actually answer what Mandel is just asked him about, you know, his purpose behind what he said and why he said what
he
said.
He wants you to prove the mythology. He wants
okay.
you to prove that statement that you made.
Okay, let me make sure.
Trace the word back
very
as far
quickly.
As you can
say. Very quickly. The brothers, okay, those who said it's not mythology, do we even have an agreement on what mythology is, first of all?
Yes, I'm saying
what is mythology?
What my understanding from my research, mythology is something that it has no foundation. You can't prove it. It's a myth. If you can't be proven.
Okay.
But truth is absolute. It's self-evident. It proves itself.
Okay.
You know, a myth, you know what I mean? It's not no facts to it.
Okay.
Well, I just...
I just want to add this fact in it before Matu continues on. Belief within itself is not an absolute. That's the purpose of belief. If you knew God existed, there would be no
need. You don't
need
to believe it.
So, there is no absolute within faith itself.
No. I said truth.
Well, truth.
You don't got to prove truth. Truth proves itself.
No. I'm not talking about truth because people can actually accept truth. I'm just talking about absolute. Yeah, I'm just talking about absolute. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, let me give you this. Here's the short version. The concept of mythology, at its beginning, is basically man's attempt to give an answer to something they cannot answer. That's where the concept of mythology comes from.
Yeah.
It's an African. At this particular time, not saying that it can never be proven, right? It's something that we can't explain right now. So we put together stories to give definition to it, right? For our purposes, whatever that may be. That's the general
concept. And I don't know why more people aren't like me and are willing to say
definition.
They just don't know.
Now, this is Mr. Solution. I have the definition of myth, and I'll read it when you say when.
Okay.
Go ahead right now. Read it now.
He can read it right now.
Okay, myth, a traditional or legendary story, usually concerning some being or hero or event, with or without a determinable basis of fact or a natural explanation, especially one that is concerned with deities or demigods and explains some practice, rite, or phenomena of nature.
Okay,
so
now
that is
with
a
that,
traditional
with that,
or legendary story,
he can
usually
stop now, really.
Concerning some being or hero or event, with or without a determinable basis of fact or natural explanation.
It's not a fact.
Okay.
It can't be fact. A fact could be proven.
Okay.
So a myth is something that's not without fact.
Okay.
This is made up.
So now when you're talking about the creation story, right? This
ahead,
is something. Huh?
Go ahead. I said, go ahead. Exactly. I'm listening.
Okay. Because man didn't create himself, then he is that by nature, he has to create a creation story. By nature. He didn't create himself, so he has to create a creation story. Right? Okay. So now my definition of mythology, is that consistent with the definition he just read? Then I'm going to go further.
It is, but where you error is that there is, obviously there's a creation and there needs to be an explanation for it, and I don't think you have it.
Well, wait. Just to chime in, this is the whole thing. What he's saying, because there isn't one set creation story, there are many set creation stories. With that being said, that people come up with concepts on how they came about.
I've read different stories of creation.
Jay Miller.
And what I have
hold
to
on,
do.
Hold on, one second.
What I have to do is
talking,
I have.
And I can't hear. I want the listeners out there want to be able to hear. And everyone is like talking at the same time, and it's no clarity. We need clarity on Dirty Church Radio.
All right, well, let me comment on that. Say when. I want to comment on that, Mr.
Okay.
Solution.
Let me just finish right quick. Yeah, I'll just finish right quick.
Hold on. I just want to say something real quick.
Hold on one second. Listen, everyone out there, this is Dirty Church Radio. A lot of y'all might have to listen to the rest of this segment
on the archive.
On demand, because we're about to go off the air live. So all the listeners out there, listen, we appreciate all of y'all for listening to Dirty Church Radio. We want y'all to stay tuned for this week. We got some good topics coming up dealing with racism in the church, segregation spiritually. There's a lot of different things that's going to be going on this week, and we hope that y'all tune in.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, you still there?
Yeah.
I got a quick comment on this, if I may, and then you can let this other guy meander all he cares to.
Listen, I just want to say,
well, my name is Metu.
Okay, Metu.
My name is Metu. And
this guy is
my opinion, just
not
like
going
you.
To draw any conclusion.
Okay.
He's the agent of confusion.
Okay. Well,
you
might be the only one that believes that.
Hold up. Hello. Hey, Jay, just give me 2 minutes.
You're the only one that believes that, brother.
Listen, right now. Hold up. I was cut off for a minute. I was cut off.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on right now.
Give me 2 minutes.
We're off the air. I'm going to let you know. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Listen, right now, we're not live on the air right now. But everything I said is still going to be part of this show.
All right. Listen, what I want to say is, for one, my coming on name is Sword, Jay. You got me?
Okay.
Sword. All right. For two, I want to say, you know, I respect all of y'all in y'all position and where y'all at, what y'all stand for. But I'm saying we all need to, like, you know, have some type of you know, integrity and give the person that's speaking a chance to speak. We do. I mean, this what I'm saying comes back to me, too. It's like, you know, it shows a lack of intelligence. I don't care what you say you believe or what you don't believe in. First of all, we men, and we're not kids. We're not dumb. We're not, you know, some type of fathead. You know, we really trying to research and go somewhere in life because that's really what it falls down to. We talking about life. And so we're going to try to, you know, have these discussions. You know, I enjoy it, but let's be respectful and give the person their time and let them speak their mind without, you know, pulling out your guns, man, you know.
Okay.
That's all, you know.
I have another question because we can actually go on the first one, you know, forever. My other question was, are there certain type of sins that actually existed 2 to 10,000 years ago, and I'm totally going off the basis of the Bible. I can go, I don't have to go off it, but I want to make a point just dealing with the Bible. Are there certain type of sins where it was a sin 10,000 years ago, but it's not necessarily a sin today?
Okay, this is sword talk. We can reverse that. I'm gonna get to that, but we can reverse that. At one time, right, incest was accepted in Genesis, in the Bible. And then at another time, it wasn't accepted. Now, today, it was a sin back then in the Word of God in the Old Testament of eating swine or eating pork. If you ate it, it was unclean. But in the New Testament, if you pray, it says that it's clean, that you can eat it. That through faith, it purifies it. So you can call something, the Word of God may call sin in the Old Testament, but then when you come in the New Testament or you come into today's time, you might say that it's not sin. For example, you know, women shouldn't wear, you know, men clothes. That's in the Old Testament. But today you see women, they might put on pants or put on their man pants and run outside. You know, the old talks about you know on a Sabbath day, which is a Saturday, you can't, you know, cook on that day. You got to cook your food the day before, and you know, and eat what you cooked the day before. You can't go to work. But today, hey, Jesus said if you got an ox in the ditch, how many of y'all won't go get it? So you know, like he told that to the Pharisees, like you know, just because you see him plucking a corn off or eating something out of the field, if you had an ox in the ditch, wouldn't you go get it on a Sabbath day? So, but today, I mean, man, God, through Jesus Christ suffering, man, like you said, we coming from a biblical standpoint and a biblical point of view. I mean, through the death of Jesus Christ, man, and his blood being sacrificed, it's a lot of things, man. God, I'm not saying that God just overlooks, but he don't hold it to our account. And we're going to change. The Old Testament talks about presumptuous sins, which could be an ignorant sin. You know,
okay,
it could be a sin, an ignorant sin or a presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sin is when you knowingly and you willfully do something wrong. You know,
right, the gentleman is right on.
Can I say something real quick?
Hold on, yeah. Wait, before anybody says something, I would like to hear the answer of of the other gentleman. I can't think of what he said his name was.
Mr. Solution?
Yeah, Mr. Solution. There you go, yeah.
Yeah, he's correct on that. The only thing I would add to what the gentleman just said is that, the whole thing was faith. In other words, faith is what determines a person's actions with respect to a particular act. But he is right that things have changed, such as the Mosaic law, obeying, the temple sacrifices and that sort of thing. If they didn't do it then, it was based on faith. Obviously, it was a sin, sometimes punishable by death. And, of course, today, because we've changed, we're no longer under a theocracy. That was a theocracy in the Old Testament, a government ruled by God. And but what I do want to just comment quickly, the gentleman said something earlier. He said nothing happened when Eve sinned. That is dead wrong. Something did happen. She trespassed. She disobeyed. And not only that, what does the Bible tells us that's worse than sinning yourself? Spreading it, getting someone else to cooperate with you in that sin. She took her sin back to Adam. She was fully human. She was fully culpable, and that's provable in Genesis chapter 3.
Okay, just a stop right there. I want to
One second. We have a caller on here. Liberal 141. They've been on the line. Are you on the line with us?
Yes, I'm on the line with you.
What's up, Stanley?
Yes, how are you? How are Mr.
How are you doing? There's something that you want to say? I know you've been on here for a minute.
I'm listening to this, and I come with the same question like he said. Why are some stuff that we think that back in the day is like, it was a sin to basically not go to church, not go pray, go to church, whatever, on Sunday, and you would get killed? That was a sin. Now we don't do that. It was a sin to be a homosexual. It was a sin. There was many things that was a sin. Now that we're looking at it as a Bible, we would never do that right now in 2012. So what sin are we talking about that is a sin that's not a sin? Number two.
He hasn't said nothing.
Yes, I know. And listen, this is what I'm going to do from now on. In order so that everybody can talk, I'm actually going to give a certain amount of time so everybody can say what they need to say. And then if you hear either me or Jay talking, to cut you off so that somebody else can listen to it. I just would like people to go by that and just basically allow other people to say what they got to say.
Get muted. Like if you go over, like. You're going to get muted, so no one will hear what you're saying.
Yeah,
okay.
So
that's what's
I know Mr. Ex-Catholic wanted to say something for a very long time, so.
I call next.
And, sir, number two, what I want to add also is there's another thing, like one of the callers said, sin has only been 3,000 years because the thing is, the biggest thing that I don't understand, Jesus came, God created, God sacrifice his only son for our sins. That's what everybody tried to believe. But like I always say, why didn't God just forgive us for something that we did wrong? He didn't need to send a son to prove a point. He could have done what all us as human beings does. If you do wrong to me, I have the right to either I could forgive you or maybe not forget, but we all have that power. Are you telling me that us as human beings, we have more power than God?
Okay, he makes a valid point. Now, Mr. Ex-Catholic, you can add.
Now, my answer to her, as trivial as
him.
It sounds, but I mean to him, is for God's entertainment, for entertainment purposes. But this is what I wanted to say earlier. Another thing, like you guys were talking about the different scriptures and calling some of it myth, and actually calling it myth, period. And I remembered something from Corinthians that was saying that basically by us literalizing the myth, we violate the very doctrine the Bible itself says, be not a minister of the letter, for the letter kills. And I think, I don't know exactly which part of Corinthians it's in, but it does say that when you stick to the mythology and you live in your life by the mythology, the way it was written, then you're bound to fail. And then like another thing that I was going to say earlier was this doesn't sound as intelligent, but I'm actually waiting for the New Testament part two, just so that some of the sins that we currently follow as sins, will actually won't be as bad or won't be considered.
Okay, hold on, wait, okay, now, cool. Now, our host didn't have anything to say for a while. I want to know what our host has to comment or ask in regards to what we've been talking about.
My whole thing is like this on the show. I've been listening to a lot of different points of views. You know what I mean? And to me, I love this. Like, I love hearing the different minds of God's creation, the way people mind things, the way they look at it. You know what I'm saying? Some people, you know, aren't concerned about God, don't believe in God. But hey, that's all and well. Everyone has their option and their choice to do so. My whole thing is like this. I'm trying to get a clear understanding. And me, I believe in God. And I believe if he's sovereign, he is the ultimate one in charge. And he chooses, and if he sets a law or he sets a standard, And you break the standard. You break the standard, and he says there's a consequence behind it. Who are we to say that, oh, I don't agree with the way he chose to chastise mankind? Just like, and everyone uses their own different scenarios. Hello?
Yeah, no, keep going. I'm going to let, after you talk, I'm going to let Ford make a comment on it.
Okay. My whole thing is just like everyone here probably had their own families, different households, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no one, I guarantee you, there are rules in your house that's different in the next man's house. And who is that next man to tell you that your rule shouldn't be that rule? You should do it this way. That shouldn't be your rule. Like, who are we to say that God, we could say, all right, God, he should have forgave him. So how many times is God supposed to do that? How many times is God supposed to go against the word that is said? And we break it, and there's no consequence because he just looks at us to be like, okay, forget what my word stands for. My word doesn't mean nothing. Your feelings about my chastisement is greater than my word. And that's what it sounds like. You know, that's just my point of view on that. You know what I mean?
Mr. Sword, what do you have to say about it?
Yeah, I just wanted to say the Word of God teaches that without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission. You know, if either you believe the Word of God to be actual, infallible, and the truth or not. The Word of God, I believe in the whole totality of the Word of God. And the Word of God says, without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sin. Whatever you call sin, I might say it ain't sin. What he calls sin, it might not be sin. But when you talk about God, and you either gonna have some type of divine book that you go by. When you're talking about the Bible, you know, God teaches you his standards in there and what he considers sin. Actually, like I said, the Bible says, whatsoever you do without faith is sin.
Okay, so, I want to stop you right there. Hold on, I want to stop you right there. How about Mr. Solution? What do you have to say about it?
Yeah, well,
put me out of the conversation.
Oh, no. You're next. You're next.
Okay. Well, the gentleman is right on what he just said. Look, when God says something, and the reason we usually don't understand that is because our words and the words of other people is often very shaky. If God tells you to do something, you got to do it because God is going to honor his word. I think he says in one place, I've exalted my word above my name. So just like the gentleman said, when you you can't place your feeling above the sovereign word of God. So we have to find out what God's word is. And look, Adam and Eve had it very easy. They had only one law. Think of that for a moment. I work in the legal system, and I know we have so many laws, we can't keep them. And luckily they don't enforce all of them because they can't enforce them all. But the point of it is Adam and Eve had one law, and God meant for them to keep that law. Now, of course, Christ ultimately died, and let me say this, to forgive them, but there are several people on the line right now. We have some people who are just unaware. We have some people who don't care about God. And we have some people who care about God, but they're just not, they're babes in Christ, as it were.
Okay,
and,
hold on, I just
want to
stop you right there. Hold on, I want to stop you right there. Now, Mitu, what do you have to shed on the topic?
Well, as far as that concept of sin, the original, well, the oldest one that we know of, this sin, comes from a character called Set, S-E-T. This is about 6,000 years ago, Set, Setien. And that's where the concept of Satan comes from. Now, in order to see the chronology and the orchestra of how this we get to the word sin and set, there's a historical study from culture to culture of how these things have evolved. So that's why I'm making the statement of set getting you to Satan and sin. In the African philosophies, the concept of sin doesn't exist. The closest thing that you have to sin in the African concept is the ego. And what the ego is a part of the tree of life, and the ego is just to be known and to be kept in harmony with the other parts of the personality. So that's how that comes in the African concept. It's the ego, man's ego, and he has to learn how to control it, knowing the self. That's where the concept comes from, know the self.
Okay, hold on. Just to stop you right there, I'm actually going to ask another question. My other question that I actually had was a question based on God's sovereignty, because I heard a lot of people talking about God's sovereignty tonight. With that being said, my question is, if God deems something to be wrong, God says, this is a sin, this is wrong. But then God, in response to saying it's wrong, God actually does things that God permits is wrong, or God tells someone to do something that God has permitted to been wrong somewhere else. Now, whatever God says, does that mean that it's righteous? If God has a law, whether on one part of the scriptures he was referring to this law as being wrong, and then the other part of the scripture he's referring to this law as being righteous, if you follow him, what do you
are you saying that if God tells someone not to kill someone, right, that's wrong to kill, but then God tells someone to kill, is it right when God tells you to kill?
Yes. Is it considered righteous when God tells you to do something that's morally wrong? Now, I would ask Mr. Mr. Solution to ask first, answer first.
Yeah, sure. I need an example of what you mean for more specificity.
Okay.
Morally wrong. What would God say that's for you to do that's morally wrong?
No.
Allow the gentleman to ask.
I'll give a lot of examples. First of all, first example is what Jay said earlier. If God deems in the commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit murder, however you want to, or
Yeah, I got you.
It's actually murder. It's not kill. It's murder.
Listen.
But go ahead.
But then God orders Joshua to kill the Mennonites and the Amorites. In that sense, or we view abortion as being wrong, and I'm just bringing it up to date. We view abortion as being wrong, but in return for punishment, God killed every firstborn of the Egyptians.
Okay, let's keep those separate for purposes of clarity, if we can.
Okay,
when God tells man not to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, God does the same thing. God tells man not to murder,
mm-hmm.
and then you say God murders. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I understand you to say?
Yes.
Okay. Well, see, for God, it's not murder. It's just like if you take something that's yours and tear it up, that's not considered vandalism. Why? Because
what?
It's yours. And one of the problems that we have is with the authority of God. Now, God says that he's just, he's righteous. And understand, a lot of this is anthropomorphic. That's God speaking to us in our language. And that's very important to understand. But I think with respect to the question that you're asking, when God kills people, it's not murder. First of all, murder is a legal term that means the malicious and at taking of someone's life, the illegally taking someone's life. When God takes someone's life, it is just. God is completely righteous. Now, there is evidence for that. God states it. God states that himself. So, you know, we can obviously work on that. But that's the answer. God, as the creator, has the right to do with his creatures what he pleases.
And that's where I
because
disagree
true
with
Christian. But hold on, I just want to stop you right there.
I want to hear
Mr. Liberty, if Mr. Liberty is still on, because he hasn't had a chance to talk in a while.
Who's Liberty?
The one that came on the phone last.
It's me. I'm sorry. I disagree with what he said. Basically, he's saying, and I'm quoting what he's saying. He's saying God, basically, we're objects for God. He could do whatever he wants. He has no responsibility, and we're just supposed to follow whatever he says and never question it, never deal with it, never. Did you hear what he said? Basically, like what applies to him doesn't apply to us. That does not make any sense at all. I don't want to be part of this God that you're saying. I want to be part of somebody who takes responsibility that if he tells us something, it applies to him too. He doesn't have the right to control my life and tell me, oh, by the way, today, Monday, I'm telling you you're able to do this, but Tuesday, I want you to do the contrary of what I said Monday. What kind of thing is that? We would never.
Okay, hold. Stop right there. Stop right there. That makes a lot of sense. Now, Wendell, I would like for you to...
Yeah, I want
to
hear Wendell say something right now on this one.
Hey, listen, you know, the beauty of the whole thing is we are intelligent creatures, and we all know we're not going to follow a blind man. The blind will lead the blind, and they both going to fall into a ditch. If you're following a false god, you're going to go to hell, or you're going to wind up having chaos. But if you got the truth, if you got the truth, let's deal with natural things, and then we can understand spiritual things. Naturally, if we have a king, man, and he's ruling the city that you're in, that king is sovereign, not no governor, king. He can do as he pleases. If he take his javelin and throw it through your heart and take your life, who going to stand up to the king? Not one, because he is in authority. I'm going to read this verse to you and let your mind kind of wander a little bit around some of these, what was said and some of what you're hearing me say. It says, thou wilt say then unto me, why doeth he, talking about God, yet find fault? That means if he's sovereign, he do whatever he want to do, and people is under his control and under his dictatorship or whatever it is that man is trying to say. Paul is asking a question. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doeth God yet find fault? If he's in his total control, For who has resisted his will? He do whatever he wants. He has planned for us to be talking right now, so why would he have fault with me if I say the wrong thing? Verse 20 says, nay, but, O man, who art thou that replies against God? Now we're talking about if God opened up the ground right now and swallowed us up and allowed you to be destroyed. God is sovereign, he's just, and whatever he do is his will. You can't bring nothing against him. So he says,
nay. Wait. I'm going to stop you right there. Now, I would have to ask what he has to ask about that.
Who?
Me too. Okay. Yeah, the African, in the African tradition, the concept, there are many gods. The concept of God comes from their study of nature, and they pulled out the principles of nature, and then they say, okay, this is a principle of the Creator. Now, this was how they did it, and then once it got passed down, now you see cultures trying to personify God, meaning give him the emotion and the attributes of a human, right, so that they could better understand him. But what the Africans did is they took all of the creation and made their gods based out of that. So you don't have the contradictions when you do it that way. See, when you try to personify him, he's sovereign. He's jealous. He's this. These are human emotions.
Attributes. Yeah.
And attributes, right. See, so what did they do? They studied the water. They found the principles in that, and then they made a deity, maybe a man with a, that's where you get like a man with a tiger head, or you get a man with the sun in the back of him, representing the sun, Ra. So what they did, and this is why you have so many contradictions, once you try to narrow down the creative force just to a man or woman and personifying that way, you get the contradictions. So what the Africans did, they took everything in nature, and then they formulated their ideals, still ideals, about the Creator based off that.
Okay.
Can I comment on that, please?
Wait, hold. I'm sorry. I want Mr. X Catholic to make a statement, and then you can actually comment on it, Mr. Solution, after Mr. X Catholic.
What would you like me to comment on? Because I'm all over the place in my mind.
Well, this is basically what we were referring to. God.
You know what
being...
X Catholic going
to
say is. For God's entertainment, you know, that's his line.
You already know that.
What do you have something to say? Because
he was just talking about the Egyptians just now, and I remember the story. And the only thing I can remember from what I was taught in school was that he basically did that to prove his power, to prove that he was God. Am I correct on that?
Mm-hmm. Who was he talking to?
I guess he's talking to everybody.
Well, am I correct on that? That from the scriptures, from what I remember about the actual story.
About killing the firstborn.
Yeah, killing the firstborn, every firstborn. He was doing it to prove to those Egyptians that, hey, I'm here and I am God. Was that
well,
correct?
Let me,
but
look, from
he's
that,
he's let my people go, or else I'm gonna do more damage. Let my people go. But that,
so proving his power.
But what I'm saying, it's either you gonna believe or you not. God
oh,
is sovereign.
Oh, wait. Before we start getting into an open discussion, I know Mr. Solution wanted to comment on something that was said previous.
Yeah, the gentleman who spoke about bringing the African situation, that is ipso facto, or by definition, pagan. God created man in his image. Nature is, of course, a creation of God, and it reflects the power of God, but it certainly doesn't reflect the person of God. And, that doesn't answer anything. That's what you call a circular explanation, and so we we know that the being that created man obviously is supernatural and is outside of nature. Nature is a creation. But going to nature.
Now, can I respond to him?
Going to nature for answers of this magnitude is what God condemned as being pagan. And he forbade his people, the Israelites of the Bible, he forbade them to do that.
Yeah. One of the things you have to keep in mind with what he's talking about, he's talking in a time capsule. And he's talking in a time capsule of about 3,000 years. The concept of a pagan god, this comes way after the Africans, the Medjineter, words of the gods. That's even where we get in today's term. We call the Bible the word of God, the Medjineter, the words of the gods. So, Mr. Solution, you got to keep in mind his when he talks, he's talking in a time capsule of about 3,000 years. So that's why he calls the African stuff pagan, because that's what they called it.
Okay, hold on. Just to stop you right there, I want to know what Minister Jay has to say.
Hello?
Jay?
Hey.
Yeah, it's on you. What's your comment on it all about the whole, you know, sovereign God? He can do basically what God chooses to do.
Well, my thing is like this, man, and like I said it before, the creation is not greater than the creator, all right? Now, if the creator created everything, if the creator is what breathed into man and man became a living soul, so that means that creation is living off of the life source of the creator. So how, if the creator chooses to make to do something, who is the creation to speak against it? Like, what can you actually say? Like, what? How can you stand up against God of all, the one who created everything that exists?
Okay,
like, hold up. Existence isn't even existence without the creator. So how can you even speak and come at Almighty God? That's my point.
Okay. Now I haven't said anything because I've kind of been the mediator for everything. But just to comment on a little bit of things. It's kind of difficult for me to be the mediator and sit here and listen without me actually sharing some type of point of view. But I want everybody to understand whether
this ain't gonna be 20 minutes though, right?
No, it's not. Whether you are going to accept what you say to be truth and what you say to be profound and what you say to be absolute, it is still basically your belief, and everybody on this phone is entitled to their belief. And even within the realms of a same sect of religion, everybody has a personal God, whereas you may think God is sovereign in one way, and someone else who believes in the same God may think that same God is sovereign in some other way. It's basically your concept and your perception of God. That's basically what I had to say.
You know what?
I got a question
for Macho.
Logical and perfectly true.
Hello? Macho?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Yo, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
I hear something in the background.
Yeah, hold on. Wait. Before...
I got a question for Matu.
No, I understand that, but I got a question for Matu.
I got a question for you. I don't think I ever asked you this, and I just want to ask you. This don't have nothing to do with tonight's topic, but in a way it might, you could say. What is
You kind of broke up. What'd you say, bro?
No, I need to, what is your take on homosexuality? Like, what you're connected to? What does the Medjineter, speak against a man laying with a man or a woman laying with a woman? Like, is that wrong from your perspective, like, or what you're connected to and what you believe?
Well, there's an African saying that nature needs no interpreter. And the issue, I've never seen the actual word homosexuality in the Medjineter, but
if you follow nature, nature gives you the judgment to that. So we don't even have to. In other words, I won't even debate that. I'll let nature be the judge of that. What happens when two men lay together?
Okay.
Well,
okay,
is the
now, since I didn't necessarily have anything to do with what we were referring to, and
that,
I mean,
Jay Miller, does that answer that?
Yes.
Nature judges that, so we clear
okay,
on that.
Okay, I just wanted to know because I never asked you that. I never asked you that question. I don't think you were on the show when we was talking about that. But I heard you on the mic.
Okay.
I heard you.
All right.
Okay, just getting back.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah,
hey, let me respond to that.
Solution had a comment to say based on something.
Yes,
hello,
I want to come back to the comment, like my two said and everything said, to come back to what Mr. Solution said, because that is the reason that I'm telling you I don't believe in God because of what he said. Basically, he's saying that as human beings, we're responsible to following everything that he does, even though that some part of the Bible he is for slavery. He is for marriage with people who get raped. He is for things that basically in 2012, us as human beings don't do anymore because we decided not to do. And if we would follow the Bible, we'd still be doing it, but we don't do it anymore. And we're just supposed to basically obey everything that he does and put no responsibility to the mighty God and put no thing on him and say, oh, too bad. He could do whatever he wants with us, and that's it. I'm sorry. There's no system. Even as a parent, you don't
even please, let me answer Stanley for a minute, if you don't mind. Because, see, Stanley is going off the rail. Stanley, first of all, can you hear me?
Exactly to what you're
yes, we can.
Mr. Solution, I'm repeating what you said. You said God could do whatever he wants.
Stanley, let me answer you for a moment.
Okay, hold on, wait, Mr.
The gentleman gave you an excellent earthly example
His phone is like making
if you are under the reign of a king has absolute sovereignty.
No, he doesn't.
That has been the case.
I'm under the reign of no king.
Stanley, let me answer you for a moment. You've raised some good questions.
Yeah.
I just want to answer you if I may. May I?
Yes.
Okay, now, the thing is that we have examples of earthly kings exercising absolute authority. They hold life and death in their hands. And they're just men, and some have been women, you know, for the example, queens, the royalty. And certainly if they could do things and they're just human, that's all they are. They may make a claim to being more than human, but they are human. They die. The breath stinks. They eat. They defecate. They die. How much more so does the ultimate sovereign of the universe, the creator, have the right to do what he wants to do? Now, God can lay down standards. You follow standards every day.
Go ahead, Mr. Solution. Continue.
Yeah, you probably issue standards every day. And so I think you are taking this the wrong way.
Well,
I think you need to take a little bit more time to review the scriptures.
Hold on, because I feel very, very neglected, and I would like to say some stuff. So I
recommend Matthew Henry's commentary for Stanley.
Listen, hold on, wait. I would ask.
You've been asking all the questions.
Listen, just be quiet for 1 second.
Hold on.
If you listen to what I'm saying, you would. Just listen.
Hold up.
I would like for you to take the mediator stance.
And you want me to ask you the questions?
I would like for you to ask everybody the questions.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't have no problem asking the question. That's not the point. I don't have no problem with you asking.
That's what I was saying because I wasn't in the conversation.
All
and
right,
I would like
so
to be in the conversation.
So now you want to be in the conversation.
Yes.
Right. So my question to you right now, Mr. Advocate, about what Brother Liberal is saying to Mr. Solutions about the whole, you know, about the discussion they was talking about, about God's sovereignty and about his right, if he has the right to do what he wants to do or he doesn't have the right to do what he wants to do. What is your take on that?
Okay,
right
well, I know Wendell made a point about the kings, and Mr. Solution iterated on the kings and queens, how they actually have the right to do these things. I would even take it further and say that parents have the right. Oh, as a matter of fact, you, Jay, you actually said that parents have the right to you know, rule and regulate the house the way they choose to view it. I mean, rule it. My thing is, whether these kings, queens, parents, or anybody at that matter are ruling and governing their house or governing their kingdom the way they choose to, doesn't necessarily mean that how they're ruling is right. And I think Mr. Liberty has a very, very, very valid point, where how in the world can I live in a society? I'm not saying that they can't do what they want to do, because it's been proven. But how in the world can you live in a society, a productive society, a well-being society, ruled and raced by morality, when the person who is above morality doesn't even answer to its own morality? In the
Thank
same
you.
Sense, wait, hold on, let's listen. In the same sense of a police officer who does not obey the rules that were set forth that he lays.
We haven't proven that. No. You're making a hell of an assumption, and you're wrong about that. We haven't proved that God has violated anything. You're just assuming that. Let me say this. You are making a deadly assumption or a horrible assumption. We can actually put God on trial and see if God meets his own standards. And I'm going to tell you at the outset,
he does.
God meets all of his standards.
Well, listen, I just want to say
not understand it on a certain issue, and that's perfectly understandable. But don't say God doesn't meet his standards, because God does meet his standards.
God does not meet his standards at all.
I'm meeting this right now.
Give me an example of how God doesn't meet his standards. Let me ask you this question.
Yeah, go ahead. Does God meet the standards that he sets? Well, see, I keep forgetting the other brother's name. I keep getting it D-A or A-D. It's A-D,
D-A.
Right?
It stands for the devil's advocate.
Devil's advocate. Okay, D-A. Now, D-A is valid in his...
Double
I'm
for sure.
I'm going to use the word accusation. I'm going to use accusation against God. God can answer for himself. He don't need me to answer. He don't need a solution to answer. He don't need nobody. And nothing that we say to each other right now will cause God to deviate or act different. God is God. He knows exactly our intent before we even begin to speak. So he knows our thoughts are far off, the word of God teaches. Now, God tells me not to be jealous. But yet, as one of the brothers quoted, God is a jealous God. And so, like, then you got some scholars who interpret it, godly jealousy is valid. Whatever you choose to do, or he gave the example, God killing the firstborn in Egypt, and we also know of a prophet assassinating the king Ahab. And so what I'm saying is, straight up kill somebody. I mean, you know, God, and this is me talking, and I'm feeling like, you know, my conviction is that if he choose to assassinate me, his judgment would be just. That's my opinion. Your opinion can be your opinion, and now I want to accuse God because God allowed the prophet to assassinate Brother Sword. Whatever, that's what you choose to believe, but what I'm saying is, according to Scripture, we see that God is a jealous God. And it was asked me, why God can be jealous and we can't be jealous? You know, but however the case may be, or why can God kill or tell somebody else to kill when he said, thou shalt not kill? You know, that goes back to saying, just. God is just in whatever he do. And whatever he do is for a purpose and a reason. God don't just do something just to be doing it. And God is in total control of everything, allowing us to exercise our free will, yet still causing things to happen the way he want to happen. He's God.
All
right.
Oh, please, that question for Mr. Liberal.
Things,
Mr. Liberal,
is
this liberal? Mr. Liberal? Is this liberal?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You said you don't believe in God because of what Mr. Solution said, right?
Yep.
What type of God would you believe in? What
not
type
the God
of God do you need
about,
to believe in?
I could believe to a God who takes responsibility, who acts just and is just. And I'm sorry, if we're going through the Bible, he's not just. Like one of the people said, he says, Monday, you will not murder. And then Tuesday, he comes back to you and say, oh, by the way, you could murder. He comes Monday and say, you should trick your friend, your neighbor you should treat everybody with respect and your neighbor, but he puts out slavery. Oh, slavery is okay. You could own somebody. It's okay. He flip-flops back and forth of different things that doesn't make sense. And
wait, Stanley, what doesn't make sense is you. Because you're misconstruing and misrepresenting.
Hold on, I want to say something.
Let me respond to Stanley. Stanley is misrepresenting God. And I'm God's representative right now. I'm one of them anyway. And I'm just saying God never approves murder.
Y'all had discussions like this before?
Wait a minute. When God takes one of his
creatures. Hold on, Mr. Home Solutions. Let me ask you this question. Have you and Brother y'all, Stanley, whatever liberal, y'all have had these type of discussions before?
We've had a brief discussion, not in this detail, no. We've never had a discussion in this detail. This is serendipitous that we're having this kind of discussion. This is sort of fortuitous. But I've just heard snippets of what Stanley had to say, and we've never discussed God to this extent, no. Right,
so
Stanley?
I'll ask you one more question. Right. Do y'all two have, do you have a radio show?
I don't.
I don't
know if Stanley does.
Do you have a radio show?
No, I don't.
So how often are y'all in this type of atmosphere setting, like with these type of conversations?
Well, we never have this conversation, as I just said. We usually talk about relationships, male-female relationships. That's what most of the shows on Blog Talk deal with. But let me just say this. Let me say this. God never murders. And God is perfectly just when he takes a human life because that human is sinning against God. Now, a lot of us have benefited from the mercy of God, but he hasn't taken our lives. So God is very merciful,
okay,
and
so
you live and breathe at God's pleasure. Wait a minute. You live and breathe at God's pleasure.
Where are you? Where was God when that happened?
Where was God when
the Holocaust came?
Wait a minute. And a lot of Jews have asked that question, but that was man's inhumanity to man.
I'm sorry.
Hold on, wait. Listen.
It was man.
Wait, one second.
Hold on, Mr. Solutions.
You're supposed to be
the mediator. No, my phone, my daughter just woke up, man, so I had to
Okay.
I had to walk away from the phone for a second.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, it was the intervention of other nations that shortened the atrocity. That atrocity would have gone on if it hadn't been for man intervening.
Let me ask you this list of solutions.
Did you understand that point I just made?
Believe the way you believe?
Wait, he didn't include that.
Huh? Hey, listen.
It would have gone on longer had it not been for man intervening to stop that evil.
Okay, so God is not responsible.
Hey,
do you recognize that? I want you to recognize the point before we move on.
In order for this conversation to move, everybody has to have
right.
a
No, hold up.
Right.
Brother, Mr. Solutions and Liberal, I just muted them. I know they could probably hear me right now. Not muting y'all out of disrespect, but just muting y'all because, listen, we the host of the shows and we got to keep this thing under control.
Right.
Y'all arguing back and forth and stuff like that.
listen, we don't mind a good argument here, but long as the argument takes us somewhere. But I don't want it to sound like a whole bunch of jibber jabber just going back and forth.
It feels like speaking in
tongues. It almost sounded like speaking in tongues for a minute.
Yeah.
How fast it was moving.
Can I say something, to Matt too?
Go ahead, Matt too. Yeah.
When you look at that, the first thing you, this is what we shouldn't disagree on, and that's this. All of what we're talking about, these are men talking. These are men supposedly interpreting the laws of God, saying that they were inspired by God. Before we even get to whether they was or wasn't, we don't even have to go there. But we have to agree on, because we ain't heard God say nothing. These are men who are saying these things, and they said they were inspired by this God. So that's
divine
the context
right.
You have to put that stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
Divine right. Exactly.
Yes, and then not only that, but I think what happens is a lot of time, the reason why, like I said, from the first conversation we had on this show, belief is something very personal.
Right.
It's something so personal to the point where I would exclude my family, I would kill myself, I would blow up buildings, I would totally neglect my whole life to follow this faith or this belief or this religion. So in that regard, if people take faith and people take religion to that point, then it doesn't matter.
You would do all that for it?
Listen, hold on. It doesn't matter what God would say. They
but
would deem
saying,
it to
it
be right.
Like you would actually blow up buildings for that. I just want to make it, clear.
No, listen. They would actually
clear that
deem
up,
it.
Man. We on the air, man. I don't want
deem it
FBI
right.
FBI knocking on your door.
The reason why they would actually do that is because they take their religion, they take their faith, they take their belief over anything.
Yeah.
And whatever God, whatever some type of authority says above their life, whether they believe it speaks to them audibly, which is crazy, or whether they believe that it speaks to them through a Bible or through some holy book, they take it to that extent.
Yeah, literal.
And they take it literally.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, brothers, I have to excuse myself. You know,
so do I.
Men, we all got some things we have to do.
Brother Wendell, man, I appreciate you, man, being on the show, man.
Yes, thank you so much, Wendell, man.
Listen, hold on, before you hang up, right, because this show right here, I want to get everybody on here. Hold on 1 second before everybody hang up.
Yes.
Mr. Solutions?
Yeah.
Brother Liberal, Brother Matu, Brother Wendell, listen, man, tomorrow night, I hope all you brothers that's on the line tomorrow, and come on here. We're going to come on here tomorrow at 8 o'clock again, tomorrow evening. I hope that y'all will be willing to come on the show. Tomorrow's topic, it might even get a little bit even more, in-depth about some other things. But we really appreciate everyone on the show tonight that came on. We really are thankful that y'all took the time out of your lives to come on Dirty Church Radio and share your time with us. We appreciate it. Thank you. My brother Devil's Advocate DA, he's going to take the rest of this show out and say whatever he's going to say. And I hope that the rest of y'all will tune in with us tomorrow.
Yes. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to thank everybody for, coming on, and we have a little bit more time, and I know that that you guys wouldn't mind speaking a little bit more, and if you guys have the time, I'll definitely stay on as long as the time permits us to stay on. Does anybody mind staying on, or does everybody have to go?
The reason why I was saying that, you can stay on, but it's going to cut off. Like,
I know.
Any minute.
Yeah, I have to excuse myself. But yes. I appreciate you guys.
Okay, thank you so much. Really, really appreciate it, Wendell. And we hope to hear from you again, especially tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll call back tomorrow. Jay, I'll give you a call tomorrow.
All right, man. That's what it is.
Let's not call back on. I'm with y'all.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Mr. Solution. I'm going to check back with you gentlemen tomorrow, too. Good discussion, though. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Solution. Really, really enjoyed you. Really enjoyed you.
Yo, spread the word, too, Mr. Solutions, about Dirty Church Radio, man.
Peace out, Jay.
Okay. Mr. Liberty, are you still on?
No, they go off. They off. Him and Solutions is off.
Okay.
Only person on here is my brother Bill. He was quiet the whole time tonight.
Okay. All right.
And Mr.
What's going on, Bill? You thought we didn't know you was on the show? Yo, Bill.
What's going on, what's up, man? How you?
Yeah, what's going on? You trying to hide on the show tonight, yo?
Nah,
you was trying to hide, Bill.
I'm just taking it in, man. Taking it in. I'm learning, man. Sometimes you got to be, a listener. You can't always be talking all the time.
Yeah, true indeed.
Man, Mr. S. Catholic, where you been at, man? You know what I mean? You been dropping the ball, man. You ain't hollered at us in a minute, man.
Nah. Mr. Devil's Advocate, no, I've been making some moves, real estate wise, and taking care of some business in my own house too. So I've been like a lot of nice guys on the show, and I'm at the sink putting a sink together or redoing a bathroom or something like that, you know. So kind of crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Real quick.
If this is not entertainment for God, like this conversation right here, I don't know what it is. I don't know what. This is like General Hospital to God, like all my children to God right now. Like, this is, it's beautiful. Well, whether we agree or disagree, you got to say it's beautiful. Another thing I have to say too.
Solutions, word is Bob. Mr. Solutions don't play. He just straight come in like, listen, you're going to hell.
You have to be scared when people take the word that literal. Because when you take the word that literal, you one step away from being following it to the T, and then willing to end up doing anything like Devil's Advocate was saying that, hey, you know what, I'll jump off a building, I'll kill my family, you know, because this is what the word says, this is what the word, you know what I'm saying? So you have to be careful.
Yeah. You know,
I'm not
D.A., man,
saying that.
D.A.,
I'm not,
D.A., he be trying to be like a little poet, the way he be trying to put his little stories and scenarios together. I mean, man, get out of here with that, man. You know what I mean? You be hearing him though. I know that's your man. That's my man too. But I know you be hearing how he be coming though, man. He be cracking me up, man.
You know what I mean?
Trying to set little traps for people to fall into. You know what I'm saying?
Get out of here
with all that, man. I see it coming.
Wait, I have a question for all of you.
Well, yo, it's only me and you on here now, man. The show about to go off in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Well, go ahead. What's your question?
It was about that whole, you know, when God does it, you know, like as far as the killing or whatever, it's considered just because it's not necessarily murder. He's doing it for the greater good of man. Do you necessarily believe that? Like, do you actually follow that? You personally?
No. My thing is like this. I follow God, man, and I believe, yo, listen, like I said on the show, I believe God's will and his authority and power is greater than your feelings.
Yeah, I got you.
I said that early on the show. Like, I think that, like, what he wants to do is greater than what you don't want him to do.
Yeah, I got you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, like, that's my point on it. Like, because, like, he's God. Like, just like if you went to prison, like, just say you went to prison. Or even in this world system, you can't just do anything you want to do without a consequence. And regardless, if you go ahead and smack your wife, right, and the cops come, you can't be like, well, I don't think the law should be that I get locked up for smacking my wife. Do you think they're going to change the law because you don't feel like it should be the law?
Yeah, I get where you come from. You also understand, though, what that point that Devil's Advocate was trying to make about how, you know, God gives us, he puts us in his game. Not a game, but, I mean, we were talking about the chess game earlier. But let's say that he puts us in his game.
But it's really not a game. The only problem happens, Mr. Ex-Catholic, is when you disobey his word. That's when the problems come in to play.
Yeah.
And that's when man